been on a leave of absence. Now he's on permanent leave. Chief Bill Lee was fired yesterday under increasing pressure over the Trayvon Martin shooting. Here's reporter Todd Wilson with NBC affiliate WESH TV in Orlando.
Word of Lee's firing was met with mixed emotions by Sanford residents.
I don't agree with that one bit.
I'm kind of glad he's gone.
According to Chief Lee's employment agreement, he will receive a severance of 3 months and 1 week's salary.
A House committee has cited Attorney General Eric Holder for contempt in the White House's failure to turn over documents in the Mexican gun sales operation. The full House could vote on the charge next week. World stock markets are mostly lower today as investors register dismay at the path chosen by the Federal Reserve yesterday. Most don't think the Fed is doing enough to kickstart the recovery. This is NBC News Radio. American Airlines pilots have rejected the company's latest contract offer. NBC's Scott Gordon says a bankruptcy judge will consider doing away with the airline's union contracts on Friday.
The airline wants to throw out the contracts and impose new ones to save money and emerge from bankruptcy stronger. Pilots now want more time from the judge, but whether he'll grant it is far from a sure bet.
If you thought it was hot yesterday, wait until this afternoon. It'll be hotter today, and NBC's Ann Thompson says it'll be warmer for months to come.
The National Weather Service says most of the country is expected to have above normal temperatures for June, July, and August.
And stolen documents, military medals, and other artifacts valued at about $5 million, including letters signed by Abraham Lincoln and Thomas Jefferson, were returned Wednesday to Chicago's Polish Museum after being found in the basement of a home decades after they went missing. I'm Lynn Berry, NBC News Radio.
Hi, Dave Lennox here. The cooling season is here, and it might be time to ask yourself, can I really get one more summer out of this old air conditioning system? But why push your luck when you can get a new high-efficiency Lennox home comfort system today? A new Lennox system will help you keep cool and might even qualify for state and local incentives in your area. Call 1-800-9-LENNOX or visit Lennox.com to find the Lennox dealer nearest you and get comfortable today.
Lennox dealers include independently owned and operated businesses.
Merriman.
Yes, Mr. Fernwell.
I've got an important job for you. Bob from Account Temps is on his way.
Bob?
Make sure he has an office, a laptop, some of the little yellow sticky notes.
Bob from Account Temps?
Yes, they always have highly skilled temporaries. Why, we may hire him full-time.
Full-time?
That'll free us up to go after new business, do more for our current clients.
Surf the Internet.
Pardon?
Is that out loud?
Call Account Temps for your temporary accounting and finance needs. 1-800-803-8367. Account Temps, a Robert Half Company.
Right now, most hotels give their guests Wi-Fi for free, but some are now reconsidering that policy. USA Today reports hotel operators are noticing ever more insatiable customer demand for internet bandwidth. And although no chain has yet to begun to charge for Wi-Fi, some big chains are pondering the move. Already, some Marriott and Carlson hotels have begun to charge guests if they want faster internet connections. Those upbeat, nattily attired employees at Apple retail stores don't make a lot. But that's about to change. Wall Street Journal reports Apple will raise hourly pay for retail workers as much as 25%. This comes after some employees said raises are long overdue and as rival stores pick away at Apple's ranks with better salaries and benefits. Pay hikes to be from the current $9 to $15 an hour. Weak readings of manufacturing from China and from Europe are pulling down global stock markets. S&P futures right now losing 3 points. I'm Andrew O'Day in the newsroom at MarketWatch.com.
Safe Light Repair, Safe Light Replace.
Ryan, technician with Safe Light Auto Glass.
So you think all auto glass companies are the same? Well, they're not. With Safe Light, you get more. Every windshield we replace is backed by a national lifetime guarantee, keeping you covered wherever you are. Plus, SafeLight has more glass in stock than anyone, so we can get to you faster.
Just tell your insurance company you want SafeLight, or call us at 1-800-800-2727, or go to SafeLight.com.
So, Dr. Morisi, as an economist, you're saying business leaders don't understand the true cost of documents?
They just don't get it. Unmanaged printers and MFPs, dysfunctional document workflow, it's profit-killing chaos.
So what's the answer?
Kyocera. With intelligent printers and MFPs, customized apps and services, Kyocera helps companies run more profitably.
Yeah. Dr. Marie,
so go from chaos to Kyocera.
Hey, that's my line.
Doctor.
Learn more at KyoceraDocumentSolutions.com.
Jay Farner here from Quicken Loans. We've got a program with an interest rate that's dramatically lower than the current rate on a 30-year fixed mortgage. It's called our 7-1 adjustable rate mortgage. The rate today on a 7-1 ARM is an amazing 2.75%, APR 3.03%. This incredibly low rate is locked until the year 2019. After that, it may adjust once per year. Call us today at 800-QUICKEN. We'll help you keep more of that hard-earned money in your pocket where it belongs. Maybe that's why, for the second year in a row now, J.D. Power & Associates ranked Quicken Loans highest in customer satisfaction for primary mortgage origination in the nation. I believe there's never been a more perfect time to refinance or purchase than right now. Again, the rate today on a 7-1 ARM is an amazing 2.75%, APR 3.03%. So give us a call today at 800-QUICKEN. That's 800-QUICKEN, or visit us at quickenloans.com.
For J.D. Power & Associates award information, visit jdpower.com. Adjustable rate subject to change. Call us for cost information. Equal.
The comments, ideas, and opinions expressed in the following program are those of the show participants only. Nothing stated in this program reflects the ideas, opinions, or beliefs of this radio station and or Clear Channel Radio.
Never let it be said that when good men and women were challenged, that they didn't rise to the challenges that were presented. And that when met with resistance, they knew enough to come together. In solidarity and with purpose and pride, they forged their way to a new understanding of what success would require. They not only met the challenge, they redefined community. And that community was called First Shift with Tony Truppiano.
Welcome, everybody. Tony Truppiano with you. I am back in studio. And, Jeff, I'm glad you had me do that, but I don't sound quite right on my end. Maybe during the break you can come in here and manipulate something, because I just don't sound right. But we'll worry about that a little bit later on. Good to be back. If I sound tired, frankly, it's because I am. And I'm asking myself this question because I don't get, and this has happened to other people. It hasn't just happened to me. How is it that you get tired from driving? Right? I drove four and a half hours up to Black Lake on Wednesday afternoon, and then 4.5 hours home yesterday, or Tuesday afternoon, and then 4.5 hours home yesterday. Why am I so tired? And then I talked a lot over the last couple of days. On top of the show, we did the panel discussion with Mark Brewer yesterday, which was just a blast. And then on Tuesday night, we held court outside. Talk about the beautiful setting. I'll talk more about this a little bit later on. But it was just a beautiful trip. I mean, just a beautiful trip. Really enjoyed being there. We've got a great show today. Connie Kelly, candidate for the Michigan Supreme Court, will be joining us at a little after 7 o'clock. I'm very much looking forward to having her on the show. We're going to hopefully get all three Supreme Court candidates on the show to talk to them. But Connie Kelly will be the first. I know Connie, so full disclosure. I mean, we're not going out to dinner every other week, but I know Connie. Her and her husband, Kevin, fine people. Susan Demas will be joining us from Mirrors and MLive to talk about a plethora of Lansing-based lawmaker-type issues. I like Susan Demas a lot, if you haven't figured that out. We don't agree on everything. Got to be honest about that, but she's bright. And when you get somebody like that and you get a chance to get them on, you do it. So we'll look forward to that. Kevin Moore, president of Teamsters Local 299. Well, join us just after 8 o'clock, and I'm truly looking forward to that, as I always enjoy Mr. Moore, my brother. Just a great guy. So all that, plus we've got lots of audio, some stories to get to. We're going to talk some national politics. We're going to talk some local politics. We're going to talk some statewide politics. I'm actually going to a fundraiser this evening for a Democrat, a good Democrat, because there are some bad ones, as we've learned. But this is a good Democrat running for the state house. She will be joining us at some point here in the very near future. But I'll be going out to her fundraiser this evening to introduce her. Her name is Pam Jackson. She happens to be a former high school math teacher of mine. But again, we'll talk more about that a bit later. So let's get this going.
Before you punch in for your first shift, here is the first word
with Tony. Fortunate. Our first word this morning will be fortunate. Let's see if we can keep it positive. Fortunate. You know, we can, you know, for some of us, we can say, well, it was fortunate that that happened, or fortunately, I happen to be in the right place at the right time. I'm fortunate enough to have benefited from fill in the blank. Fortunate can be a word that you either use a lot or you don't use often enough. Some of us don't feel like we're fortunate. And I understand that. You know, one of the things about belonging to the 99% club, and as I remind you, it's not something you join, it's just something you belong to. It's not easy. You don't always have good fortune. I don't know that bad fortune really, that's kind of a mixed metaphor for me, bad fortune. So that first word would be misfortune. I'm not buying into it. I'm just not buying into it. That's all I'm saying. So I feel, ultimately, I feel really good about fortune. You know, if it can also, you know, you can have a fortune, which is money, but fortunate. It's just one of those things that you want to be able to have more of it. You want to participate, right? I was so fortunate to be able to go to Black Lake. I was fortunate that I spent so many years on the radio. I was fortunate that in 2012, the Democrats beat the Republicans at every freaking level they possibly could. And as a result of that, real progress finally took place. All right, so I'm being optimistic, but maybe we're all fortunate for that, right? I'll stay optimistic. I truly will. Anyway, today's first word is fortunate, and we are fortunate to have Jeff Radford with us. Are you hearing a little bit of weirdness with the microphone? I'm getting some cracking in there too, Jeff.
Yeah, it's the cracking. You sound fine.
All right.
It's just the cracking that was bothering me before the show started, and it's bothering me now. So yeah. We'll try and work on it during the break.
Yeah, it's just a nod. I mean, I don't even know how you troubleshoot something like that, but if anybody can do it, it will be you. You know, listen, I want to do something, and you did this yesterday. You sent an email, but we had some help getting the show up yesterday. Not that we didn't do our part, but there are people behind the scenes that never get thanked for anything, and most people will never know who they are, but certainly Tom and Albert are two of the people, or Joe and Albert are two of the people that we want to thank, especially Albert, on Tuesday night, God bless his soul. Without him, I'm not so sure we would have been live from Black Lake yesterday, just saying.
No, yeah, and the time of day we got a hold of those two guys. Joe getting in early, and then Albert very late. So, yeah, thanks to those guys for helping us hook it up.
Interestingly, as I was doing the show yesterday, and I did enjoy that, there was somebody that I had reached out to from my radio past who, by the way, you heard me leave him that message, right? Don't care what time it is, call me, right?
You're right, yep.
Never heard, still haven't heard from him. I thought I would sound pretty urgent.
Well, it's a good thing we stayed and worked with Albert then.
More than a good thing. Beyond fortunate. Tigers lost last night. We didn't have a chance to talk Tigers yesterday, but they did win the night before. They could have hit the 500 mark again last night. As the paper said, it wasn't in the quote-unquote cards, which, of course, was a groan moment for me. And for those that don't get that, we're playing the St. Louis Cardinals. So cards, you know, yeah, anyway. 3-1 last night. 3-1.
You can't get upset with the pitching.
No.
Three runs in a game is typical. It's just the bats I just don't get. Sometimes they're there. Sometimes they disappear.
Well, we do know this. As we creep closer to July, that means we creep closer to what? The opening of, come on, think football. Oh, I just gave it away. Anyway.
I'm sorry, you're breaking out. I mean, this crackling thing is getting to me.
Really? Well, I'm hoping you can figure it out, because if not, you're just going to have to get used to it today. I don't know what to tell you. I'm hearing, I don't sound like I normally do. It's like one of the knobs or something should not be depressed, but. There's the cracking again. I mean, if people are going crazy with that, we apologize, and we will work on it during the break. Anyway, we do have a very busy show today. you just took a long trip, a much longer trip than I did when you went to see your uncle retire. But what is it about just being in a car makes you tired? Because I don't get that. I was absolutely laid out dead tired when I got home last night.
Yeah, you know, and have you ever gone somewhere where you don't do anything, you just sit and you're in a room full of people or your senses? It's like really exhausting feeling sometimes when your senses are just in full use. You know, you're hearing a thousand different things, you're seeing a bunch of things, and yet you're just sitting in one chair. Like if you go to a big sporting event or something, and you feel just exhausted afterwards. I think driving's the same way. You got to pay attention to the roads. You're staring at, you know, all these cars around you. You got to use your senses to figure out if someone's honking or what the sounds are around you. And, 8 hours straight concentration or 4 hours or whatever it happens to be, that can get exhausting.
I guess. I really got up early yesterday. I did sleep well up there, although I only was there for an evening, one night. I did sleep well. But got up, did the show, broke down right after the show, which was not a big deal. It's much easier to break down equipment than it is to set up. So broke that down, went and chilled. They were nice enough to hold me a plate for breakfast, which I appreciated because I was pretty hungry once it was all said and done. So then I had breakfast. Mark Brewer and I did our panel discussion, which was a real treat. I really enjoyed doing that, by the way. At one point, Mark Brewer says, you know, I feel like I'm your setup man today. The audience just roared when he said that. But really had a great time. And, of course, Chuck Hall, the director of Region 1, UAW Region 1, was such a gracious host. I had a chance to spend a couple hours with him on Tuesday evening. And I know you haven't been to Black Lake, Jeff, but you did see go on the website and see the pictures, so you can imagine what it's like to be there in person. It's in the woods. It's I called it yesterday a compound because it really kind of is a compound. It's a resort. You know, some part of it is resort, part of it is dormitory, part of it is classrooms. It's so diverse. It's so expansive. And so beautiful. I just can't thank them enough for inviting me out there. All right, we're going to take a quick break and see if we can fix whatever it is that's crackling in the background. In the meantime, you stay right where you're at or feel free to join us. 888-552-3595. I'm Tony Trupiano. A pleasure to be back in studio with you on this Thursday morning program. Let's take a break and we'll continue here on 1310 WDTW, right after we do this.
First Chip with Tony Trupiano.
United States of America, Barack Obama. Do you know Mitt Romney?
I've met him, but we're not friends.
On 1310 WDTW.
1310 WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Taking a look at your traffic, let's head over to Evergreen Road at M10, where he had an accident that was partially blocking the ramp. That is now in the clearing stages. And we still have those traffic lights not working on Woodward Avenue at South Boulevard and also at M59 between Telegraph Road and the Woodward Loop North. That's your total traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
1310 WDTW Motor City Weather.
Today is going to be 90 degrees with thunderstorms starting in the afternoon. Tonight, 63. Tomorrow, 84, mostly sunny, and it's currently 75 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your first shift weather.
Do you have some previous experience in the restaurant industry but want additional opportunities to enhance your skills?
The Restaurant Opportunity Center of Michigan, Rock, Michigan, is offering free classes in fine dining, serving, and bartending.
You'll learn the order of service every server should know, speed pouring, drink recipes, customer service skills the industry is looking for, and much more. All classes will take place at our restaurant and training center, Colors Detroit, at 311 East Grand River in Detroit, Michigan. Please call 313-962-5020 Monday through Friday from 9:30 a.m. until 6 p.m. to set up your orientation date and learn more about the nation's largest nonprofit restaurant worker organization. We want to help you elevate your skill set and passion for the food service industry and give you every opportunity to achieve everything this industry has for you. Again, call 313-962-5020 and set up your appointment for your orientation date. Rock, Michigan. Your future is waiting for you now.
If you missed today's first shift with Tony Trupiano, or you want to listen to a segment again,
Visit our podcast page on 1310wdtw.com today.
Unions work. One of the many advantages of being a worker covered by a union contract is the increased likelihood that you will have guaranteed benefits, including scheduled wage increases, affordable health insurance, a secure pension, and paid time off than non-union workers. Wouldn't it be nice to have the peace of mind and economic security that comes with a union contract? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Joining me now is Ed Montgomery. Ed was appointed by this White House as Director for Recovery for Auto Communities and Workers.
Take Michigan, for example. Since July of 2009, manufacturing has added about 161,000 jobs. Of that 161,000, half of those jobs have come in the manufacturing sector. So, you know, half of our progress in Michigan has been through the rebirth of manufacturing. I think you can't underestimate the importance of automobiles, which stimulates not only bringing back people in the auto factory, but all up and down the supply chain, the people who make the glass, the people who make the steel, in terms of revitalizing manufacturing altogether. And that's really comes from the president's policies and leadership.
On 1310 WDTW. First Shift is more than a radio show.
It's a movement.
And it's Facebook fun as well.
Very impressive.
Add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today and tell a friend.
I'm friends with Marilyn Olson, too. He comes over.
Interact with other listeners.
Yo, what's up, diggity doll?
Listen to the song of the day.
Great googly moogly.
Vote in the daily poll.
That's how I roll.
And even win prizes by participating in the contest.
You ever have that feeling you were just born for greatness?
First Shift with Tony Trupiano on Facebook. And also follow us at Tony Trupiano on Twitter. In a blue-collar, get-to-work-and-get-the-job-done kind of state like Michigan, there's only one show that cares about the men and women
who put in a hard day's work every day.
This is First Shift on 1310 WDTW. Now, back to Tony Trupiano.
Isn't happening. So I just don't hear anything. So I don't hear music right now or anything. So are we back? So just tell me that we're back and we're good. Because I don't know. And I don't even know if you can hear me right now. All right, well, I'm just going to assume we're back on. Are we back on? All right. Okay. Ah, well. Live radio, folks. It is what it is. Laura, I'm sorry. I'll stop talking about Black Lake. Well, maybe I won't. It was really cool. All right. I want to get to some audio. I want to get to a little extra audio. So we're going to kind of hit the ground running. I want to start with some national stuff. I told you a couple weeks ago, we do need to start spending more time on national issues because, frankly, there's an election coming up, as you're all well aware. And although on a national level, the August 7th primary doesn't matter. Well, that's not true. In some of our congressional districts where we have primaries, it's just important that you understand that you do need to vote in the primary. I had this conversation with somebody close to me yesterday who didn't seem to get the importance of voting in a primary. Why does it matter? Well, it does. Anyway, it's just important that we do that. But we're going to talk about some national issues. And certainly we're going to talk about Mitt Romney because I continue to find him so inept. I talked about this yesterday with my good friends and my brothers and sisters at the UAW, but honestly, and I've said it on the show how many times now, if you're a Republican and Mitt Romney is your candidate, can you really feel good about that? Okay, we played the other day some audio. Bob Schieffer had asked him about President Obama's announcement on immigration policy, what he would do about it, and he wouldn't answer the question. Well, our friends at Think Progress thought it important that they put together a collage, if you will, an audio collage of the Mitster, Willard himself, basically not really answering the question still. This is what they did.
When it comes to certainty, you were asked yesterday about the president's executive order on immigration, and insofar as you've indicated that
your plan for a more comprehensive approach would deal with the president's executive orders regarding young people, etc., why not provide the similar certainty by saying, well, until such time as I pass a new immigration law to provide that certainty, we'll do away with or not the president's executive orders?
Well, substantively, where do you come down on the issue?
He described what he did as a stopgap measure. These kids don't want a stopgap measure. They want some permanence in understanding what their status is going to be.
The executive order is, of course, just a short-term matter. It can be reversed by subsequent presidents.
Not something that's temporary to an executive order.
Not to have a nominee like myself going out and talking about short-term answers.
And now he's putting in place a little stopgap idea.
And I've said
I'm not going to be looking for stopgap measures.
Not this kind of a stopgap measure.
And we'll see how that works out. But
would you repeal this?
The executive order from President Obama stands or does not stand?
Well, it would be overtaken by events, if you will.
We'll see kind of what the calendar looks like.
By virtue of my putting in place a long-term solution.
On a long-term basis, so they know what their future would be in this country.
My own view is we need to have a long-term solution.
That's something I will start on day one.
We have to find a long-term solution.
Long-term solution. A long-term solution.
A long-term solution.
A long-term solution.
Something that's long-term.
Long-term solution.
But not just
for the term of a president, but on a permanent basis.
That's something I don't want to football with as a political matter.
I won't keep on about this, but just to make sure I understand, would you leave this in place while you worked out a long-term solution, or would you just repeal it?
We'll look at that. We'll look at that setting as we reach that. But my anticipation is I'd come into office.
I don't get it. And this is indicative of a larger problem. Let's have a realistic discussion about this. I am not trying to be smart alecky here. I'm not. And it's not even about having expectations about whether or not you can talk with any kind of eloquence, or is it about charisma? It might even seem a little unfair to some of us that we would compare the styling, the tones of one President Barack Obama and one former governor of Massachusetts, Mitt Romney, because one has a superior speaking intellect, the other one does not. And if I have to define for you which, then you're in denial. You just are, right? Let's just be honest about it. And so I'm concerned. And so some people will just say, well, listen, so Mitt's not the greatest orator in the world. We can get over that. It's really not about how well they speak. It's about what they say. Well, I'll buy that. I'll go with that even. Let's go with that. Let's go with that theory. It's not about how well they speak, about what they say. How about, I'll even give you a little bit more. It's not about just what they say, but what they mean, because there's a difference between the two, is there not? Of course there is. So we ask ourselves the obvious question. If he can't answer a simple question, what would you do? Well, I'm going to do something permanent, something bigger. Like what? Well, something permanent, and it'll be bigger. People are owed that, the stopgap thing. But answer the question, you know, and so this is an issue. Now, if we start to break down, and trust me, many have done it, I really don't need to articulate it. I will, but I don't need to. When you look at what Mitt Romney actually represents, what does he stand for? What is he promising? He promises that he's going to undo a lot of stuff. In fact, I said to Jeff this morning, if he's elected, he's going to have a very busy first day, because he's promising on his first day as president, he's going to basically undo or redo or do, although when he says he's going to do something, it's usually undoing something and then having to redo it. So I guess that doesn't really count. But has he really told us what he's going to do? He doesn't have a jobs plan, and the budget that he wants to adopt is the Paul Ryan budget, which we already know would cost us more than what the president's budget does. In fact, the president's budget actually reduces debt, where the Romney budget increases it. And then we go back to this idea that job creators, the wealthy, if we continue to give them tax breaks, will continue to create jobs. The problem is they are not creating jobs. I remind you, just because it's conveniently factual, that the majority of jobs being created in this country are manufacturing jobs, And had it been up to people like Mitt Romney, in fact, Mitt Romney himself, we wouldn't have most of those jobs any longer. And I don't take any joy in reiterating this because there's nothing joyful about it. But the reality of a Mitt Romney presidency, even though it was absolutely hilarious that he tried to tell us, and it's ridiculous, I mean, nobody took him seriously when he said that, well, the president eventually did what I told him to do. Nobody has ever taken that seriously. And if you are, if you believe that the president took Mitt Romney's advice, then you really are not in denial. You're delusional. Maybe even a little paranoid schizophrenic. All due respect and my apologies to the paranoid schizophrenics out there. Folks, think about this. Think about what it is Mitt Romney doesn't stand for. Because that's what we need to be concerned about. We need to be very concerned. I feel like I'm at the airport. Jeff's giving me hands. He's now in studio with me giving me hand signals. And we have 10 seconds. We have 9. We're going to take the break. So everybody stay where they're at. I actually have this up here that tells me that. We got to go. We'll be right back.
1310 WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Taking a look at your traffic, let's head over to Evergreen Road at M10, where you had an accident that was partially blocking the ramp. That is now in the clearing stages. And we still have those traffic lights not working on Wilbert Avenue at South Boulevard and also at M59 between Telegraph Road and the Wilbert Loop North. That's your total traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
Today is going to be 90 degrees with thunderstorms starting in the afternoon. Tonight, 63. Tomorrow, 84, mostly sunny, and it's currently 75 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your first shift weather.
Sweeten up your day with a McDonald's frozen strawberry lemonade. Sweet strawberries and tangy lemons mixed together for a unique drink every time. Starting at just $1.69. McDonald's, I'm loving it.
Unions work. Did you know that workers covered by a union contract earn more money each year than non-union workers? And that a contract can put more dollars in your pocket each and every week. A union contract protects your wages, giving your family financial security. Does more money in your pocket sound good? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
First Shift with Tony Triano.
Joining me now is Madeline Kunin.
You know, I had no clue that we would be talking about contraception in 2012. That takes us back to the 1930s or 40s, you know, when Margaret Sanger, who started the birth control movement, was arrested for opening a clinic. You know, progress is not necessarily a straight line upward.
On 1310 WDTW.
Stay tuned for more of First Shift after this on Detroit's Progressive Talk, 1310 WDTW.
Rather than finding ways to cooperate with the natural world, America's agribusiness giants reach for the next quick fix in a futile effort to overpower nature. Their attitude is that if brute force isn't working, they're probably not using enough of it. Monsanto, for example, has banked a fortune by selling a corn seed that it genetically manipulated to produce corn plants that won't die when sprayed with a toxic weed killer called Roundup. Not coincidentally, Monsanto also happens to be the maker of Roundup, so it has profited from the seed and from the huge jump in Roundup sales that the seed generated. Slick. But Mother Nature, damn her, has rebelled. So much of Monsanto's poison was spread in the past decade that weeds naturally developed a resistance to it. As a Dow Chemical agronomist put it, the real need here is to diversify our weed management systems. Exactly right. We need non-chemical, non-GMO, sustainable systems that work with nature. But no, the Dow man didn't mean that at all. He was calling for more brute force in the form of Dow's new genetically altered corn seed that can absorb Dow's superpotent 2,4-D weed killer. Use this, he says, and nature will be defeated. Wrong. Nature doesn't quit. The weeds will keep evolving and will adapt to Dow's high-tech fix, too. By pushing the same old thing relentlessly, says an independent crop scientist, agribusiness interests ratchet up America's dependence on the use of herbicides, which is very much a treadmill. This is Jim Hightower saying, it's time to start listening to the weeds and cooperating with Mother Nature. To advance this common sense approach, a national coalition is backing a California Right to Know initiative requiring GMO-altered foods to be labeled. To help, go to organicconsumers.org. Hightower's commentary is brought to you by the Hightower Lowdown. From Wall Street to Washington, this monthly newsletter reveals who's doing what to whom and why. Check it out, hightowerlowdown.org.
First word.
First thoughts. First with the news and newsmakers that matter to you. First Shift on 1310 WDTW with Tony Trubiano.
35 minutes after the hour. Oh, Willard, we are not done with you yet. Our good friend and president of the Metro Detroit, AFL-CIO, Chris Mihalakis, was out in Troy at the Troy Marriott yesterday to meet and greet Willard himself. He and, oh, I don't know, 700, 800 or so union brothers and sisters. Chris brings us a report.
How you doing today? My name is Michael Fields, and I'm here today with Good Jobs Now as a volunteer, and I'm here because I'm concerned about the things that's going on around Michigan. And I think there's a lot of things that can be changed if, you know, people just get the message that we're trying to bring forth today. We're going to continue to fight every day. We believe that the way people are being treated and the way people are being forced to live, it's a serious enough issue for us to be out here every day fighting for what's right. If Mitt Romney wants to be president of the United States, I tell him good luck to you, brother, and let's see how far you get with that 1% vote you got going. We know you're doing all, you're doing really well with all the money you're taking. You don't pay taxes. All we want you to do is pay your taxes. We want you to raise those minimum wages. We don't want these hard-working citizens out here every day working themselves to an early grave and can't even take care of their families. I think that is so unfair. We get $7.25 an hour. You guys get 725% and don't pay no taxes. Now you tell me who's fleecing the market.
Yeah, my name is Jim Pita. I'm a member of the Operating Engineers Union, Local 324. And I'm here because I'm disgusted with the fact that Romney would want to let the auto industry go down the tubes and throw millions of people into the street. We got enough people out of work now.
Yeah, my name is Ryan Webb. I'm a business rep for the International Brotherhood of Electrical Workers, Local 58. I'm out here with about 500 other working class brothers and sisters to protest a Mitt Romney fundraiser here at the Troy Marriott on Big Beaver. The reason I'm here is it's obvious that Mitt Romney doesn't represent me or anybody in my class of American. He's representing the 1%. He has came out and said many times he's against collective bargaining. He was ready to let the big three fail. I don't think Mitt Romney's good for Michigan.
My name is Nancy Bliss, and I'm here because I support union workers, and I support all of the men in the middle class and poverty who can't support their families and donate to their churches. And Romney's and the Republicans are opportunists who look for any way to get money away from other people. They don't have values. If they did, they would raise taxes and pay the bills that the Republicans created under Bush. I have two daughters who could not vote in the Bush elections, yet they want to make them pay for the mistakes that were made.
My name is Aaron. I'm with the United Food and Commercial Workers, and I'm out here protesting Mitt Romney because he wants Detroit to go bankrupt. I want to see him go bankrupt.
This is Mylon Peel, UAW Local 1248, UAW Region 1. I'm here today to show my support and raise awareness that Mitt Romney is typically wrong in so many aspects, but especially at me as an auto worker from the Chrysler Division. When he wanted us to go bankrupt and he didn't even take in consideration the trickle down, the 1.5 million jobs that were associated just with the auto industry, that irresponsibility cannot be carried into the White House in 2012. So we need to raise awareness and let people know of the issues at hand. And it's not just about the auto industry, but this man is out of touch with reality altogether. So thank you. Thank you, Chris, and thank you, Tony.
Yeah, I just, people's passion, and at some level disgust, but passion, more appropriately, for wanting to be sure that they get heard. I think that's important. One of the things that I took away from yesterday, as we presented, and Jeff, maybe I'll bring you into this conversation for just a moment. You know, what I was hoping to accomplish, one of the things I was hoping to accomplish by being up at Black Lake yesterday and talking to such a diverse group of union men and women is to kind of showcase, first of all, their diversity, because they were quite diverse. But that, you know, I would hope people walked away from some of these conversations yesterday saying, wow, I didn't expect these people to be so articulate or so interested in different things, because they all had a very unique story. Yet, you know, they all do, you know, like one's a high-low driver or one, you know, works as a customer service rep. They all have a persona and they all have interest way outside of what it is they do for their career. I just thought that was fascinating.
Yeah, I did too. I thought, and we got a couple of responses, I think, on Facebook and Twitter that of people who I thought, I kind of worried because it seemed very specific what we were doing yesterday, UAW, Black Lake Union, and people were saying, you know what, I found it really interesting because of what people were saying and how passionate and into what is going on up there.
Well, good. Because that's what, of course, the goal was. So we take a look. One of the questions I got quite a bit over the last 24 hours was, how can anybody that cares about Michigan vote for Mitt Romney? Well, that's a good question, but we need to understand that not everybody is connected to the auto industry, number one. Number two, even though everybody, they don't realize it, is connected to the auto industry, they don't know that they are, or it's not personal enough. And I say, everywhere I speak, politics must be personal. And honestly, when most people don't even get involved in politics till it becomes personal. So let's keep that in mind. So that's number two. Number three, we do have our single issue voters that are going to vote for a Republican, any Republican, because there are certain things that the Democrats, and that's true for Democrats as well, there are certain things that the Democrats stand for that as whatever your own personal reasons are for being that single issue voter is, you just can't vote Democrat. So that's going to happen too. So that explains some of it. As we are about to share with you from WDIV, the polling, which again, this far out doesn't matter. In fact, even as we get closer and closer and closer, it may be indicative of some of the things that are happening, but the only poll that really matters, you've heard the cliche before, right, is on Election Day. But let's listen to what Channel 4 had to say on how close this race is.
So what do these numbers mean? A statistical dead heat? Are we a blue state, a red state? Pollster Steve Mitchell offers a third option, a purple state.
I think that this will be a battleground state. I think it is a purple state. Leans a little more Democratic, but again, an incumbent has to run on his record, and the economy will have a big impact on what happens in the election.
Mitchell tells me these numbers done on a phone sample of 750 people statewide don't surprise him an iota. And in the end, it will be independent voters who decide whose column Michigan ends up in. Here in Wayne, Oakland, and Macomb counties, excluding the city of Detroit, Romney is at 53% to Obama's 47%. Fred Sherwood isn't surprised it's tight.
Every time I see Romney, he looks the same. And every time I see Obama, you know, pretty much the same, too. And I can understand that it's a tough fight for them.
Raj Najan is.
Yeah, I'm really surprised, you know, from it becoming tight.
What really brings people to the polls?
I'm always looking at the economy. That's my number one thing.
Pollsters like Mitchell will tell you it's pocketbook issues. Where does Romney need to work if he's going to make Michigan go his way? Outstate. Look at these numbers. Romney at 47% and Obama at 45%, which explains why the Romney bus tour is making multiple stops outside of Metro Detroit.
Yeah, no, it doesn't. That doesn't explain why he's doing it. What explains why he's staying out of Metro Detroit is he doesn't want to continue to have that discussion about let Detroit go bankrupt. That's why he stayed outside of Metro Detroit. Our media is just awful here in the state of Michigan. Just awful. It gets worse as you go north. And they got shows like that asshat Michael Patrick Shields that's on after me. We're going to talk about this a little bit later. Well, maybe we'll talk about it now. He did an interview with the state lawmaker, and I'll get to the specifics of a little bit, because there's been a little controversy over it. And as you're watching, and Jeff sent me the link to it, so there's, you know, Michael Patrick Shields' video streams his show which is something we're investigating doing here. And so when he's interviewing this guy, well, let me wait till after the break when I've got all the info. I've got it here. I just don't have it pulled out right now. And I want to do it justice because I'm going to, once again, bitch slap Michael Patrick Shields. How the hell this guy ever got a job in radio is beyond me. He doesn't have an opinion, as he tells us all the time. I can't listen to the show. I don't know who does. I know none of you do. But how is it that you can say you don't have a point of view? I allow everybody access to the airwaves. I believe that there are, you know, voices on all sides that need to be heard. Well, you know what? The conservatives have way more outlets than the liberals do. I'll even make it less invasive. The Republicans have many more opportunities than Democrats. Okay, I'll just keep it on the up and up, but we're not going to do that for long. Not going to be on the up and up for much longer. All right, we're going to get ready to take a break here in just a moment. Let me remind you, our number is 888-552-3595. I'm still reeling a little bit, and I didn't hear back from the guy that left me those voicemails that we played yesterday. I did not hear from him. I did send him an email and did not hear back from him. So I don't know what's going on with that. But anyway, 888-552-3595, the email address, Tony@thetonyshow.org, and on Twitter, @TonyTrupiano, TonyTrupiano. All right, quickly to the break, and then after that, we'll get specific. We'll get specific. We got a lot to do, including Mayor Bing, who is either being a rabid bulldog or being a jackass. You guys decide that on your own. Let's take the break here. On First Shift, we'll come back and clean up this hour in just a few minutes. It's First Shift on 1310 WDTW. We'll be right back.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Jay, welcome to First Shift.
How you doing, Tony? Excellent show.
Frank, good morning.
You got a great show, by the way.
Tom, listening in Chicago.
You got a great show, Tony. You've been doing a great job. I've been listening to you since you came on the air, and good luck with it, and I hope you keep it going.
On 1310 WDTW.
Hi, Tony Trupiano here. One of my pet projects for 2012 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. If you are connected to the internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org, that's www.thetonyshow.org, and click on the Register to Vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now, there are no excuses, and it only takes a few minutes, and it's free as well. So, if you have to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says Register to Vote right here. We all care about our democracy, but if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are, without voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we have all had enough of that. Again, go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the Register to Vote button now and register.
Over 140 Rite Aid stores are unionized with over 1,500 United Food and Commercial Workers members working with a union contract in stores all across Michigan. Because they are union members, they have access to higher wages, a company pension, a health care plan for themselves and their family. And UFCW Rite Aid workers proudly serve their communities and at the same time enjoy a living wage and benefit package. Please support our union Rite Aid workers and make sure they know how much we appreciate the work they are doing. To join the UFCW family of drugstores, visit UFCW.org or call 248-585-9671. First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
It is my pleasure to welcome former Michigan Lieutenant Governor John Cherry.
I'm watching today and seeing some of the positive developments in Michigan right now, and has been for, better than a year, has been leading the nation in terms of recovery. I mean, it's a slow recovery nationally, but Michigan is outperforming the nation in that regard, and that's the result of many of the things that were done in our administration to help Michigan to survive this economic onslaught. And we feel good about those sorts of things.
On 1310. WDTW. First Shift is more than a radio show.
It's a movement.
And it's Facebook fun as well.
Very impressive.
Add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today and tell a friend.
I'm friends with Merlin Olsen, too. He's come over.
Interact with other listeners.
Oh, what's up, diggity doll?
Listen to the song of the day.
Very googly moogly.
Vote in the daily poll.
That's how I roll.
And even win prizes by participating in the contest.
You ever have that feeling you were just born for greatness?
First Shift with Tony Trupiano on Facebook. And also follow us. At Tony Trupiano on Twitter. You're listening to Michigan's only live and local progressive talk radio show.
Give us a call.
1-888-552-3595.
Welcome back to First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Okay, welcome back. All right, here's the deal. A state rep from Traverse City by the name of Wayne Schmidt. Wayne Schmidt was on Michael Patrick Shields' radio show and said that Lisa Brown and Barb Byram, but he was speaking more specifically about Lisa Brown, State Representative Lisa Brown, who was on the show last Friday, said that she was banned from speaking because she needed a timeout. Needed a timeout. Now, she's not a child. She didn't say anything inappropriate. She used the word vagina, as you all know, but there's nothing inappropriate about that. She did say no means no, but there's nothing particularly wrong about that, unless, of course, you're a sexually repressed Republican man in the legislature. For whatever reason, that really riled them up, but I'm not quite sure why. I'm really not quite sure why. So when we take a look at that, and Wayne Schmidt, Representative Wayne Schmidt says, well, this was just a timeout. It's inappropriate. There's no question that's true. But Michael Patrick Shields, in his attempt to kiss Representative Schmidt's ass, chuckles. And you have to go watch we can post the video out of the Facebook page if you want to see it. But he chuckles. I mean, would you say he smirks at the end, Jeff? What would be a good way to describe how he responds to his buddy, his Republican buddy's comments?
Yeah, smirk. I mean, I don't want to jump to conclusions, but my initial reaction was he thinks what Schmidt is saying is funny. Now, I mean, maybe, and not to give him an excuse, but maybe he's laughing or smirking because he's like, okay, I just caught this guy. I got good radio here. This guy's saying something stupid, and now he, you know, I caught him on my show.
Nah, I don't think it was that, because that would be a totally, I think, totally different reaction than physically.
See, I think you're right. Yeah. I mean, we'll post the video, I suppose.
Yeah,
because
I don't think Michael Patrick Shields is clever enough to know that, you know, like, if you and I know we've got good audio, we know we've got good audio, right? We send it out, and we normally get it picked up by at least one of the news services. I don't think Michael's that smart. I'm just saying, Jeff, I've known him a long time. I don't think Michael Patrick Shields is smart enough to know when he's got it. And I'm sure he's, you know, salivating over the extra, the little extra love he's getting from the media today. But I for all the wrong reasons.
Yeah, I was kind of shocked then when I heard the audio of what he was saying. So, of Schmidt saying.
Of Schmidt, right. Because, as we know, Michael Patrick Shields doesn't have a point of view and doesn't really have an opinion on anything. And he's just as much Democrat as he is Republican. I can't keep a straight face. Oh, God, I can't imagine what the hell WDTW is thinking by keeping that show on the station. I really don't get it. I really don't get it. All right, let's move on just for the sake of my sanity. But we'll get that stuff posted. Now, if you didn't hear, you're going to hear it today, perhaps read it in the paper, but the Detroit Public Schools is once again being gutted. They're going to shed 2,000 jobs, most of them, you ready for this? Teachers. I'm going to make a connection between that and the unemployment numbers, which I don't think will take a stretch for you to figure out in just a moment. But let's listen to this audio from WXYZ Channel 7.
We have stunning numbers tonight from Detroit Public Schools. The district is getting ready for some big cuts
and changes as it shifts to a new system. Now, here's a look at the district's proposed budget. It calls for almost 1,900 job cuts, and enrollment also expected to be way down because of these changes. 7 Action News reporter Cheryl Choden caught up with parents tonight who are uneasy about these changes.
I want them to get a good education, graduate, go to college, make some of their self.
Sheena Griffin has 3 children in Detroit Public Schools, but she is feeling unsettled tonight as the district releases its proposed budget for the coming year. Even though it reportedly will be a balanced budget with a surplus, it calls for the elimination of 1,889 staff positions. About 85 are clerical, but most of them teachers. According to district officials, that's because enrollment will be dropping by more than 11,000 students. And that's because many of them will be attending one of 15 schools in a new independent district called the Education Achievement Authority. It is a lot for parents to digest, and it comes after a year of leadership changes in the district, also school closings, and a new evaluation system which is underway now for every single teacher.
They don't need no teachers to get laid off because how the kids is nowadays. We need all the teachers we can get. They don't have teachers like we had back in the day.
On June 27th here at Renaissance High School, the budget will be presented and a public hearing will be held. In Detroit, I'm Cheryl Choden, 7 Action News.
I have no idea what that woman meant by we don't have teachers today like we did from back in the day. No, it doesn't work that way. The rules are different. What teachers are allowed to do has changed. What administration has done to handcuff teachers has changed. The people haven't changed. The rules have changed. Let's be clear on this. To put that on the individual teacher, that person, their personality, is insulting to me, with all due respect to whoever it was that said that. The rules have changed. The people haven't changed. To go into education requires such an uncommon commitment and selflessness. I mean that. Most of you really can't comprehend the sacrifices that individually must be made to be an educator in especially in today's society. People that choose to be teachers understand, absolutely crystal clear understand what it takes to not only to do the job, but to do it successfully. And they need to dedicate themselves to the student. If they dedicate themselves to the process, they won't stay long. They certainly can't dedicate themselves to the principal, and I don't mean that in a negative way, or to the superintendent, which I may mean in a somewhat of a negative way. But as we really explore the commitment it takes to be, not just the educational commitment, the financial commitment, not just that, because those are important considerations. But, you know, what you do, the rules for what you do are a moving target and they change from year to year. And imagine how much worse it would be if they didn't have a collective bargaining agreement. They didn't have a grievance process in place. Well, of course, we know that this new evaluation system and everything else they try to do to teachers, not do to help teachers, but they try to do to them. You think it's going to be better at a charter school? I mean, at any level? Do you think at a private school it's better at any level? Think again. The fight continues, folks. The fight continues. In the next hour, candidate for the Michigan State Supreme Court, Connie Kelly, will be my guest in what is going to be an ongoing series with the Supreme Court candidates, so get used to it. In the meantime, we'll take the break for the top of the hour. Susan Demas with M Live and Mirrors in the next hour as well. A lot of good stuff to get to. You're going to want to stay right where you're at. This is First Shift. We take a break for the top of the hour. Enjoy the news. We'll be right back.
WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
So far, so good on your commute, but we do have traffic lights that are not working on Woodward Avenue at South Boulevard,
Also on M59 between Telegraph Road and the Woodward Loop North. And on 94 eastbound at Gratiot, you're down to one lane. That's last until 11 a.m. That's your total traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
1310 WDTW Motor City Weather.
Today's going to be 90 degrees with thunderstorms starting in the afternoon. Tonight, 63. Tomorrow, 84, mostly sunny, and it's currently 75 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your First Shift Weather.
Next time you need to stop for groceries, the 42,000 members of the United Food and Commercial Workers in Michigan ask you to shop at one of the stores where they work, including Kroger, Meijer, Hiller's, and Hollywood Markets. Shopping at these union stores helps support good union jobs, which build healthy communities. If you already shop at these stores, our members want to thank you for your support.
Hey, it's Anthony from First Shift with Tony Trupiano. Weekdays 6 to 9 right here on 1310 WDTW. Dearborn, Detroit. NBC News is next.
NBC News Radio, I'm Chris Jansing. Upping the ante in the long-simmering fight over the botched ATF operation known as Fast and Furious. House GOP leaders say they'll vote next week on whether to hold Attorney General Eric Holder in contempt for withholding documents. New York Democrat Carolyn Maloney doesn't buy it.
It shouldn't be a political witch hunt against the Attorney General of our country and our president in an election year.
Republicans say President Obama's use of executive privilege in the matter smacks of a cover-up. The first full day of summer bringing another sizzler for much of the nation. More record temperatures could fall in the hot, humid Northeast today as the power grid gets another workout from all that air conditioning. Washington, D.C. looking at a high of 100 degrees. And spending too much time on your smartphone may not be a smart idea, according to a British group that says people are becoming screen slaves to their high-tech gizmos. This is NBC News Radio. Sluggish economic growth. That's the forecast from the Fed, as Chairman Ben Bernanke warns of a high unemployment rate through next year.
Our sense is that people are finding jobs, but just not at the rate that we would like to see. And as the statement says, if we don't see continued improvement in the labor market, we'll be prepared to take additional steps if appropriate.
The Fed extending efforts to boost the economy by buying more long-term bonds. Sanford, Florida Police Chief Bill Lee has been fired from his job. Lee had been on leave after a storm of protest over his handling of the Trayvon Martin shooting. Closing arguments today at the child sex abuse trial of Jerry Sandusky, the former Penn State assistant coach deciding not to testify. And when it comes to automobile quality, Lexus is topped in a J.D. Power survey, logging the fewest problems in the first 90 days of ownership, followed closely by Jaguar, Porsche, and Cadillac, GM scoring highest among domestic brands. More news at MSNBC.com. I'm Chris Jansing, NBC News Radio.
Shopping around for insurance? With Auto Owners Insurance, every policy comes with a local independent agent, providing you more insurance choices to fit your needs. When it comes to insurance, keep it simple. Talk with a real agent. Auto Owners Insurance is ranked highest in customer satisfaction with auto insurance claims experience 4 years in a row, according to J.D. Power & Associates. For award information, visit jdpower.com.
For your life, home, car, and business insurance needs, in St. Clair, call Aitken & Ormond Insurance at 810-329-4749.
Merriman!
Yes, Mr. Fernwell?
I've got an important job for you. Bob from Account Temps is on his way.
Bob?
Make sure he has an office, a laptop, some of those little yellow sticky notes.
Bob from Account Temps?
Yes, they always have highly skilled temporaries. Why, we may hire him full-time.
Full-time?
That'll free us up to go after new business, do more for our current clients.
Surf the Internet!
Pardon?
Is that out loud?
Call Account Temps for your temporary accounting and finance needs. 1-800-803-8367. Account Temps, a Robert Half Company.
Stock in Bed Bath & Beyond has taken a bath. Shares down 10% in extended trading after the chain considered one of retail's big success stories of late. Reported better-than-expected earnings for last quarter, but surprising everyone. Also forecast weakening earnings and sales in coming months. 36,000 people work at Apple retail stores across the globe, and many have complained that they don't make what their peers at other retail stores make. Apple is about to change that. Wall Street Journal reports Apple soon will hike store employees' pay as much as 25% from the current $9 to $15 an hour U.S. USA Today reports hotel operators are rethinking their policies of free Wi-Fi for guests. That's because they're noticing ever more insatiable customer demand for Internet bandwidth. Already, some Marriott and Carlson hotels have begun to charge guests if they want faster Internet connections. Stock markets down across the world after tough manufacturing news from China. S&P futures are losing 4 points. I'm Andrew O'Day at MarketWatch.com.
Safe Light Repair, Safe Light Replace.
Ryan, technician with Safe Light Auto Glass.
So you think all auto glass companies are the same? Well, they're not. With Safe Light, you get more. Every windshield we replace is backed by a national lifetime guarantee, keeping you covered wherever you are. Plus, Safe Light has more glass in stock than anyone, so we can get to you faster.
Just tell your insurance company you want Safe Light, or call us at 1-800-800-2727, or go to safelight.com.
So, Dr. Morisi, as an economist, you're saying business leaders don't understand the true cost of documents?
They just don't get it. Unmanaged printers and MFPs, dysfunctional document workflow, it's profit-killing chaos.
So what's the answer?
Kyocera. With intelligent printers and MFPs, customized apps and services, Kyocera helps companies run more profitably.
Yeah. Dr. Marie,
so go from chaos to Kyocera.
Hey, that's my line.
Learn more at KyoceraDocumentSolutions.com.
Hi, Dave Lennox here. The cooling season is here, and it might be time to ask yourself, can I really get one more summer out of this old air conditioning system? But why push your luck when you can get a new high-efficiency Lennox home comfort system today? A new Lennox system will help you keep cool and might even qualify for state and local incentives in your area. Call 1-800-9-LENNOX or visit Lennox.com to find the Lennox dealer nearest you and get comfortable today.
Lennox dealers include independently owned and operated businesses.
Narrowman!
Yes, Mr. Fernwell?
I've got an important job for you. Bob from Account Temps is on his way.
Bob?
Make sure he has an office, a laptop, some of the little yellow sticky notes.
Bob from Account Temps?
Yes, they always have highly skilled temporaries. Why, we may hire him full-time.
Full-time?
That'll free us up to go after new business, do more for our current clients.
Surf the Internet!
Pardon?
Is that out loud?
Call Account Temps for your temporary accounting and finance needs. 1-800-803-8.
The comments, ideas, and opinions expressed in the following program are those of the show participants only. Nothing stated in this program reflects the ideas, opinions, or beliefs of this radio station and or Clear Channel Radio.
As the clock chimes a reminder that it's time to punch in for another shift, those of us who have worked tirelessly to honor our contracts and the promise they represent have also been paying attention to the many promises that have been ignored by the politicians.
Now as we mark the time for change,
it is you and I who will confidently send the message that since it is only us who have upheld their promises, that 2012 marks the time for change. And change begins with First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Welcome back. 6 minutes after 7 o'clock on this Thursday morning program. It is Thursday, the 21st day of June. By the way, the first day of summer today. Wanted to share that with you. And I've got a great guest, two great guests in this hour, actually, at the bottom of the hour, Susan Demas with Mirrors and MLive.com will be joining us, journalist extraordinaire. But I'm blessed to know my next guest personally a little bit. Her and her husband, Kevin, were awfully supportive and very kind to me when I ran for Congress six years ago. But beyond that, as you've heard me talk about on this program, as I did yesterday when I was up at Black Lake with the UAW, one of the questions that I was asked is, why is it important that we elect a Supreme Court or people to the Supreme Court that might be more sympathetic to our views? And actually, the way the question was asked is, does that guarantee, quote unquote, the question was, the Democrats then get the victories? No. If you elect a fair jurist, somebody that understands what it means to be fair, and we don't have that right now as we see the decisions that come down, then we know that the judicial process is well served. That's what we should be concerned about when we talk about, especially for these court seats. And I want to remind you that you're going to have lots of decisions to make both in August and in November. It's okay to have a cheat sheet. I'm calling it a cheat sheet. You're not cheating at all, of course. But you can, all of the papers are going to print out these things where you can mark down exactly who you're going to vote for, bring it with you to the ballot box, and do that, all right? The voting place. You can do that. That's completely legal. But let me get to my first guest here, because one of the things that we know is that we've got three seats up on the state Supreme Court, and one of the people that I would like to see fill one of them is Connie Kelly. Connie is a judge for the Third Circuit Court. She formerly was an attorney in private practice. She is the co-founder of Cody Girls Make It Happen Mentoring Program, is a graduate of the University of Michigan and Wayne State University Law School. She happens to be an amazing wife and mother as well, and an awfully good person. Connie Kelly, it's a pleasure to have you on First Shift this morning.
Well, thank you, Tony. I'm very happy to be here this morning.
I'm proud of you. I'm proud of what you're doing. There's nothing, I don't think people understand the commitment that it takes to run for a statewide office, if you will. This is a big commitment. Why would you do this to yourself and your family? This is a lot of work.
Well, it is a big commitment. And, you know, I ran for the Wayne County Circuit Court 4 years ago, and I thought Wayne County was big with 43 communities, but the state is really big. But I have to tell you, I'm really enjoying meeting people all around the state, and it's amazing how many people are so energized about the Michigan Supreme Court race this year. It really seems that people know how these decisions have affected their lives, and they're looking for change.
Oh, there's no question. Might you heard me give my assessment that what we really want to do is elect people that will be fair to the judicial process. Is that a good way to look at this, Connie, to measure it that way?
Well, it is. I think that's exactly the right way to talk about the Supreme Court or any court, because really judicial positions are nonpartisan positions. And even though our system in Michigan requires that you be nominated by a particular party, you're on the ballot in the nonpartisan section. And I think judges have to be fair. They have to read the law. They have to understand the law and apply the law to the facts in the case before them. So that's what judges do. And I think that somebody who is always agreeing with one side or the other isn't necessarily interpreting the law. My background in law is that I was a lawyer for 27 years, and I represented people throughout the state of Michigan. A large part of my practice was employment cases. I represented people in wrongful termination cases, people who were fired from their jobs without cause, people who were victims of discrimination in employment, race, age, sex, and disability discrimination. I did other areas of law, too, but I practiced a lot of employment cases throughout the whole state of Michigan, as well as the Michigan Court of Appeals and the federal court system. So I have a very wide variety of legal experience over those 27 years before I was elected to the Wayne County Circuit Court. So I think I kind of lived in the trenches. I represented everyday working people, and I helped them to solve their problems.
Well, you know, it's fascinating for me as I certainly have watched you grow as a judge, and you know, of course, you know what we all do this from afar at some point, and I know how committed you are to democracy. I know how committed you are to your family. I know how committed you are to fairness. And so when we ask people, you know, Connie, one of the things that you have to do, now you're politicking, it's something you have to do. You have to go out there and you have to ask for votes. As you know, you've been involved in politics a very long time. You can't just assume people are going to vote for you because your name's on a ballot. You have to actually ask for those votes. Why should people elect you to the Michigan State Supreme Court?
Well, based on the fact that I have had more than 30 years of legal experience, I think I bring very broad experience to the Michigan Supreme Court, not only as a lawyer, but as a judge. I've sat on both sides of cases. I understand how people feel when they come to court, that it's a very stressful experience. And I am there every day, I have read everything, and I try to help people resolve their cases in my current position as a family court judge. But I have support around the state from so many different groups and sources. When I was elected 4 years ago, I was supported by labor, by every major labor organization, by every Democratic club in Oakland County. And in this race, I have such great labor support from the UAW. Rory Gamble has just been a terrific friend. Chuck Hall out in Macomb County. Carla Swift, and it's funny because Carla Swift, before she was the president of the AFL, was working for
Elizabeth Bunn.
She was the one. Well, before that, though, she was the one who got me involved in the Cody Girls mentoring program. I told her that I wanted to do a girls mentoring program, and she suggested Cody Heifel when she worked for United Way. She was at United Way.
That doesn't surprise me.
She suggested Cody, and that's how I got started in my girls mentoring program there. And so, you know, it's all kind of come together for me in a great way. But I am supported by the trial lawyers. I am supported by so many groups and organizations that really encouraged me to run in this race.
Well, you know, it's interesting because, and I'm not gonna, I'm not asking you to pick on the current court, but we do need to, you know, I think that we all need to look at what's happening, and we see, especially with this current court, that they've been very predictable. When there's something that represents corporate America or corporate Michigan or big business, those decisions all seem to go in one direction. And after a while, you know, even if you're not cynical, you kind of start, Connie Kelly, to sit up straight and take notice that maybe something's going on, that they're not being fair, that they're really not judging in the proper manner. The why is it that this stuff all seems to go in one direction? So I'm gonna put your feet to the fire a little bit. How do I know that you'll be fair, Connie Kelly?
Well, I think if you look at my record of serving regular working people, I grew up in a working class family. My father is a retired MEA member. I have a brother who's a UAW member. He's a member of Local 228, works at the Sterling Axle plant. So, and my mother stayed home and did the hard work of raising six children. So I grew up in the kind of family that probably most of your listeners grew up in. I paid my own way through college and law school. I waitressed during the summer and while I was in law school. So, you know, I didn't come up the easy way. I have lived in the trenches, and so I understand the problems that regular people have, and I want to take my expertise and my experience to the Michigan Supreme Court.
Well, there's something special about that. I really do. When I first heard that you were considering, and then it was confirmed, Connie Kelly, that you were going to be running for the Michigan State Supreme Court, I thought, what a perfect fit for a variety of reasons. First of all, you know, I happen to like you and your husband a whole lot. I mean, you're just awfully good people. And you are. You're good family people. I mean, you're just good people. And I say that with all the respect I can muster. But I thought that for the reason that this made sense to me is that, you know, you kind of in a way have mirrored in your judicial career, if you will, you've kind of mirrored Debbie Stabenow in that you've been on all these different levels. So you have really grown up in the law, and you know, you've certainly matured in the law. You understand the law. You have helped, you know, do the right thing, as you said, for three decades now. I think it's important that people weigh that and measure that. And Connie, I think that what they'll find when all is said and done, and although we're going to have some of the other candidates on this show, I'm asking this audience to judge each one of you individually. I think what they're going to find, Connie, when they look at the facts, which is something you'll have to do as something actually that you do now in your current role as a circuit court judge, what they're going to find is that there is something profoundly positive happening, and that profoundly positive thing is you're doing the right thing. We don't see that all the time. I think that's pretty refreshing.
Well, thank you, Tony. I appreciate that. You know, we're very fond of you, too, and we supported you in your battle. But, you know, I want to tell you, though, that the Democratic Party has done something really historic this year, and that is that they have nominated or endorsed three women to be on the ticket for the Michigan Supreme Court. I don't think that's ever happened before. And, you know, we want to say it takes three.
Yeah.
That's our theory.
Connie, I need to just interrupt you for a moment. We need to take a break. Stay with us. We're going to continue with you on the other side. If you'd like to get a question to Connie Kelly, feel free to give us a call, 888-552-3595. We do have to get to the break, though. We'll be right back.
First Shift with Tony Tribbiano.
These pancakes are something else, I'll tell you. These pancakes are as large as my win in Puerto Rico last night, I must admit. That is really something. You haven't gone to work on this pancake yet.
On 1310.
Number one, I need some pancakes. And number two,
WDTW.
1310 WDTW. Continuous traffic watch. Checking your traffic, no accidents, but we do have some slow traffic over on 696 westbound between DeQuinder and 75. Also on 94 westbound between French Road and Van Dyke, it's a slow go. And you're going to have a lighting crew that has your left lane closed until 11 a.m. on 94 eastbound between Cadieu and Maross. That's your total traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
1310 WDTW Motor City Weather.
Today's going to be 90 degrees with thunderstorms starting in the afternoon. Tonight, 63. Tomorrow, 84, mostly sunny, and it's currently 75 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your first shift weather.
Hi, Tony Trupiano here. One of my pet projects for 2012 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. If you are connected to the internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org. That's www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now there are no excuses and it only takes a few minutes and it's free as well. So if you have to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says register to vote right here. We all care about our democracy, but if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are, without voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we have all had enough of that. Again, go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button now and register.
Unions work. One of the many advantages of being a worker covered by a union contract is the increased likelihood that you will have guaranteed benefits, including scheduled wage increases, affordable health insurance, a secure pension, and paid time off than non-union workers. Wouldn't it be nice to have the peace of mind and economic security that comes with a union contract? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
First Chip with Tony Trupiano.
And come November, there will be a new name representing the 11th District. We're hoping it's going to be Dr. Syed Taj. And
thinking about myself, when I proved in 2008 when I ran for the township in Canton, which is one of the largest population in my district. It's almost 91,000. So this is the second largest township in my district. And when I ran in 2008, people said, oh, no Democrat ever got elected in this town. So I did it at that time, and I think I did it in the old-fashioned way, where I contacted people, went door to door. I told them that, listen, I'm not a career politician, I'm a physician. How do you like having somebody who cares for people, who takes care of patients, who talks to people? So they accepted me, and to my surprise, to everyone's surprise, on the day of election, when 85% of the vote were casted, I got the highest vote.
On 1310,
WDTW. First Shift is more than a radio show.
It's a movement.
And it's Facebook fun as well.
Very impressive.
Add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today and tell a friend.
I'm friends with Marilyn Olson, too. He comes over.
Interact with other listeners.
Yo, what's up, diggity doll?
Listen to the song of the day.
Very googly moogly.
Vote in the daily poll.
That's how I roll.
And even win prizes by participating in the contests.
You ever have that feeling you were just born for greatness?
First Shift with Tony Trupiano on Facebook. And also follow us
at Tony Trupiano on Twitter.
Got a question or comment? Call now.
888-552-3595.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano
on 1310
WDTW.
Welcome back. 22 minutes after 7 o'clock. My guest is Michigan State Supreme Court candidate, Judge Connie Marie Kelly. I will tell you that Jeff is always very good about this and always one step ahead of me. He has put on the Facebook page a link to Connie's website so that you can go check it out. I want to also encourage all of you that are listening this morning to make a donation. Like any other statewide office or any other office that we run for, it is expensive, and she could use your help. Beyond that, and we were talking, and as we get back to Connie Kelly, we're talking that she is one of three, which is, by the way, a historic, one of three women that has been nominated by the Michigan Democratic Party to be one of the next Supreme Court justices here in the state of Michigan. Let me also tell you that she has been endorsed by an organization that matters a lot to me, as you all know, and that's Michigan Now. And Connie, you know, I'm looking at your endorsements, and one of the things I'm saying to myself you know, you're going to get the political endorsements, and I don't want to make light of that, but your colleagues, other judges, are stepping up in an uncommon way. The list is quite lengthy. In fact, I could probably fill up the rest of our time just reading the list of your colleagues that are supporting you. That has to matter to you.
Well, it does, and, you know, I want you to know that's still under construction. That's a developing list, and I've been so fortunate to have other judges who think that I will be fair and impartial and will do the job, stand up to support me. Yesterday, we issued a press release that I was a candidate who received the endorsement of the prosecutors from Wayne, Oakland, and Macomb County, as well as a number of law enforcement groups. So I feel that I have really wide support throughout the state, and I'm very excited, very honored and humbled by that, too, that people think I'm up for this job. It's a humbling experience. It really is in many, many ways. But I'm proud of all those endorsements. And, you know, not all those people that are endorsing me are Democrats. I have Republicans. I have independents. I have really wide support across the spectrum, I think.
Well, and Connie Clay, that's indicative of somebody that has had a career that is to be respected. And let's just be honest about it. And not that this is over, because it's not. Once we get closer to the general election, we've seen it happen a million times. The TV commercials start and the radio commercials start. But here's the challenge with you, especially. We always say, well, they've got a record they have to run on. Well, yeah, Connie Kelly, you do. And that's actually good news for you. You do have a record that you have to run on.
I'm very proud of my record. I really have worked hard to help regular everyday people throughout my career. And I sit as a family law judge now. So I spend my days really solving families' problems. I also was one of the judges that we applied for a federal grant. We received a grant from the Office on Violence Against Women, and we have a special domestic violence court that just three of us serve on. I volunteered to do that in addition to my regular docket. And we see really the worst of the worst cases involving domestic violence in Wayne County. And again, we partnered with a number of agencies in Wayne County because we want to help people to escape that life of violence and to protect their families and their children. So I am very proud of the work that I've been able to do to assist families in that regard as well. So, you know, I'm putting that all together and hoping that I can succeed Justice Marilyn Kelly, who I'm sure you know is retiring. Michigan requires that judges can't run for office after they've reached age 70. So Marilyn Kelly, a Democrat, has been on the Supreme Court for many years and has been a good friend. She has an expertise in family law, too, and she's really the only justice up there who understands and practiced family law. So, you know, I'm hoping that that's a natural place for me to be and that I would be honored to assume her position on the Michigan Supreme Court.
Well, certainly I have a special connection to the justice, and I hate the law that mandates, forces her to retire. At the same time, again, when I saw your name and I saw that put out there, and no disrespect to Bridget McCormick or Sheila Johnson, who have been invited and will be on this show. So I don't want to make sure that people understand that. Connie, you are a little special to me because I do know you a little bit. So, you know, there's a reason that I want to see you succeed, mostly because it's not like I benefit from that. Actually, I do benefit from that. As a citizen of the state of Michigan, I benefit from your experience. I benefit from your fairness. But we all do. I tell people all the time, Connie, this should be politics should be personal. And there's something very political, whether it should be or not, something very political about who our judges are. And if it doesn't matter to you personally, it should. So I'm telling people, make it personal. When I'm looking at Connie Marie Kelly and deciding whether or not I want to vote for her, I need to internalize that. And I'm asking people to do that with you today.
Well, I appreciate that. But I got to tell you, my running mate, Bridget McCormick, is a University of Law School professor, a University of Michigan Law School professor. She is a terrific advocate for people. She has created these clinics at the University of Michigan. She trains lawyers to represent people on the front lines, and she is a fantastic candidate. Judge Sheila Johnson in Southfield is the third Supreme. You know, they're calling us the three Supremes, which I think has really kind of caught on fire as we move around the state, the three Supremes.
Well, you saw my original email, right? It says the subject heading said Supremes. So, I bought into it, too.
And so Sheila Johnson is the district court judge in Southfield. She would be the first African-American woman to serve on the Michigan Supreme Court. Between the three of us, we have 78 years of legal experience, and we all bring the same values, the same sense of fairness. And I think what we want to tell people is it takes three, and that's what people have to remember when they go to vote in November. There's no primary here. It's just going to be, we're going to be on the ballot in November. We've been nominated or endorsed by the Democratic Party. We expect to be nominated at the convention, and so there will be no primary. But, you know, what I think the most important thing, Tony, that everybody has to remember is that if you vote straight ticket Democratic, you have not voted for us. We are on the nonpartisan section of the ballot, and there's a huge drop-off, as you know, between the number of people who vote for president and the number of people who vote for the Supreme Court, because a lot of people vote straight ticket and think they've covered all the bases. So we have to educate our friends and families to make sure they go to the nonpartisan section of the ballot and vote for the three Supremes.
I will be preaching that nonstop. I was up at Black Lake yesterday. I know you've been there, Connie. It's beautiful. UAW Education Center.
Fantastic.
I tell people everywhere I speak, and I speak a lot of places. Yeah, and I just talked about that cheat sheet, bringing that in. You can't get voter fatigue. You can't stop at the proposals. You've got to keep going. And there are a lot of important seats. And I don't know. You know, everywhere Mark Brewer goes, the first words out of his mouth are Supreme Court candidates. I don't care what we're talking about. Those are the first three words out of his mouth. We understand the critical nature of this. Connie, we need to take off. Would you promise me that you'd come back and visit with us again?
Absolutely. I consider this our introduction, and I will be happy to come back and talk about the race in more detail anytime, Tony.
Well, we'll definitely get you back.
Thanks for
having me. You bet. Tell your husband I said hello, and thank you so much for your time this morning. We'll get you back on real soon.
All right. See you soon. Thanks.
Connie Marie Kelly. We've got the website up on the First Shift Facebook page, but for those of you that are a little more anxious, Connie Kelly, and that's K-E-L-L-E-Y. Connie Kelly for Justice.com. We'll take the break. We will be back with Susan Demas right after this.
1310 WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Checking your traffic, no accidents, but we do have some slow traffic over on 696 westbound between DeQuinder and 75. Also on 94 westbound between French Road and Van Dyke, it's a slow go. And you're going to have a lighting crew that has your left lane closed until 11 a.m. on 94 eastbound between Cadieu and Maross. That's your total traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
Today's going to be 90 degrees with thunderstorms starting in the afternoon. Tonight, 63. Tomorrow, 84, mostly sunny, and it's currently 75 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your First Shift Weather.
Next time you need to stop for groceries, the 42,000 members of the United Food and Commercial Workers in Michigan ask you to shop at one of the stores where they work, including Kroger, Meijer, Hillers, and Hollywood Markets. Shopping at these union stores helps support good union jobs, which build healthy communities. If you already shop at these stores, our members want to thank you for your support.
You're listening to WIN, Workers Independent News, a production of Diversified Media Enterprises. I'm Doug Cunningham. A ruling on the Affordable Care Act could come as soon as today, and the way the Supreme Court rules could have an immediate impact on tens of thousands of Americans, Jesse Russell reports.
A new report released Wednesday by Families USA found that a lack of health care coverage was a direct contributor to the death of more than 26,000 Americans between the ages of 25 and 64 in 2010. The reasons for the lack of coverage varies. Some were denied access due to pre-existing conditions, and others lost their ability to pay for coverage due to high costs, and some were kicked off due to employers who stopped sponsoring coverage. Families USA said the result of not having coverage is Americans will often put off care and hope health problems will go away on their own.
Now the life of the Affordable Care Act itself has been put in jeopardy. Getting rid of the Affordable Care Act, as some seek, wipes out the broad access to coverage scheduled to come into effect in 2014, when millions of Americans will be eligible for assistance with the cost of health coverage, and when insurance companies will no longer be able to deny coverage to people with pre-existing conditions or charge them higher premiums.
The Service Employees International Union is launching its largest ever political field campaign focused on 8 battleground states in an effort to win both the presidential and down-ballot races. The effort will focus on union and non-union voters with an emphasis on African American and Latino communities, younger voters, and union households. This political field campaign has a goal of making 13 million phone calls and knocking on 3 million doors by Election Day. SEIU's massive field campaign will be active in Colorado, Florida, Ohio, Pennsylvania, Nevada, New Hampshire, Virginia, and Wisconsin. SEIU says the political program's goal is to elect candidates who support working people and the 99% agenda. SEIU and Priorities USA Action have also launched a joint $4 million Spanish-language TV and radio ad campaign in Colorado, Florida, and Nevada. Teamsters Local 727 says Chicago funeral home directors broke off talks on a new labor contract for nearly 400 workers amid draconian demands. The union says the Funeral Directors Services Association admits their operations remain very profitable, but they still pushed the Teamsters to take a 3-year wage freeze. The Teamsters have repeatedly asked to see financial statements showing there's a real financial hardship, but the funeral home directors have refused. The union says it's preparing for job actions. The current contract expires June 30th. Workers Independent News is made possible in part through underwriting from the OPEIU, the Office and Professional Employees International Union, and by AFSCME, the American Federation of State, County, and Municipal Employees. You've been listening to WIN, Workers Independent News. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
Together we stand, divided we fall. Got something to get off your chest? Give us a call. 1-888-552-3595. This is First Shift with Tony Triano.
Welcome back. 35 minutes after the hour. Really want to thank Michigan State Supreme Court candidate Connie Kelly for joining us in the last half hour. Again, I got to know her and her husband, Kevin, when I ran for Congress back in 2006. They're just fine people. I mean, they're just fine people. You know, it's not often you, at least me, and I think many of you, that you actually know you have some personal knowledge of people that run for these offices. And so I feel grateful that I'm able to take that relationship that I have with the Kellys and share a little bit of that with you. And so I want to thank Connie Kelly, and we will have her back. We are working, by the way, on dates for the other two Supremes, and we will get them on as soon as we can. But let us move on, and I'm happy actually to announce that having had an email dialogue with Susan Demas, that she has agreed to join us on a weekly basis. Her and Jeff will work out those details, and we'd like to get this started sooner as opposed to later. There's a profoundly good reason for that. I find her style of journalism to be refreshing and uncommon these days. It didn't used to be that way, but it is. So whatever influences, journalistic influences she had in her life, she learned them well. I said this on the show, and Susan, I want to welcome you back. I don't always agree with you, but I always respect you. Welcome back to the show.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that.
I do have a lot of respect for you. One of the reasons is that you're not afraid to do the work, the research work that it takes to be accurate. Now, if people understand what I mean by that, that's kind of indicative of a little bit of what's happened. Let me ask you, before we get to some of the topics we're going to get to, what was it about a career in journalism that was attractive to you?
Well, honestly, I always wanted to write, and it's awfully hard to get paid to write. I've always been very interested in public policy and politics, and I got a couple opportunities a decade ago when I was after I was done with the University of Iowa, and I feel very lucky that I ended up here.
Well, I need to tell you, and I'm going to, we're in the process. In fact, I talked yesterday. I had a 4.5-hour drive yesterday. I was up at Black Lake, and so as I was driving back to the Detroit area, I had a lot of time on my hands. So I'm in the process of redoing the website, and I was talking to the web guy. And since you are going to be joining us on a regular basis, I can't wait for people, they can go do this now, but your resume, when people look at your resume, they're going to be astounded by how much really profound experience that you have, because it is expansive. You've really done a lot in your career.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that.
Well, let's get on to some of the issues, and certainly one that we barely touched in the last hour because I was waiting for you. Listen, I'm no fan of Michael Patrick Shields, but that's not what this is about. What this is about, though, is an interview that he did with State Representative Wayne Schmidt, and I'm pretty upset about what Representative Schmidt had to say, but I'm going to let you do the reporting here.
Right. Well, you know, we all know about the vagina controversy at the Capitol, where two female representatives were barred for speaking because of what they said during an abortion debate, which included the word vagina. And a representative from Traverse City was asked about it on the Michael Patrick Shields show, and he defended the fact that Representatives Byram and Brown were banned from speaking, saying, you know, hey, when you misbehave, you need a timeout.
Yeah, you know, I don't know if you find that appropriate. I find it appropriate for a variety of reasons. Number one, as a colleague. Number two, what he's inferring is that they did something wrong, and I'm still trying to figure out what they did wrong.
Well, right. I mean, people give passionate floor speeches on a variety of topics, and, you know, I've seen people come to blows on the House and Senate floor, so or come close to it. So, you know, this was not nearly the most shocking thing that I've ever observed. You know, I have to say that, you know, I think that it's a very gendered comment, as was Ari Adler, who is Jay Spolger's spokesman, when he called it temper tantrums. I mean, these are grown women and mothers, and calling them children, I think, is very patronizing.
Well, I want to go back to the word you just used, and it's woman or women. And here's my issue. At a time where we need more women in politics than we ever had, now, and you have reported, this is not a new phenomenon, especially amongst Republican male legislators in Michigan. They seem to like to beat up on women. And so, Susan Demas, part of my challenge here, you know, and I really do mean this, is that I just said I had Connie Kelly on the show, I want more women in the political process. What, if this is the way they're treated, what makes you think anybody's going to step up to that?
Well, there is a huge issue of women running for office. And, you know, in states that have term limits like Michigan, it's an even bigger problem. I mean, we had far more women a decade ago serving than we do now. We're going in the wrong direction. And certainly, you know, with this kind of atmosphere being an old boys club and for women being criticized for speaking out and disagreeing with a lot of the men in power, I don't think it's a welcoming atmosphere at all.
Right. And so for a woman to see that if you disagree with a man in power of the state of Michigan, that you can be called a slut or something worse or something much more degrading, well, yeah, you know, again, that's not something that you're necessarily going to say, hey, let me volunteer for that. You know, let me sacrifice my time as a candidate, raise a bunch of money, cost my family a ton of time, and then be treated that way. Yeah, that's exactly what I want to do. This is a problem, and it needs to be stopped.
Right. And out of fairness, I'm not sure that I've heard anybody, you know, use the term slut, but nonetheless, I think that the handling of this by House Republicans has been very poor. I think there are concerns amongst other Republicans, like in the governor's office and the Senate Republicans, how this is being handled. And I think a lot of women are feeling like we're returning to the dark ages here.
Yeah, well, you know, let's for a moment, Susan Demas, talk about the partisan divide, because maybe not so much. There are especially a female Democratic House member that is very sympathetic to the Republicans on this. As you report in Mears, Meghan McCain, the daughter of Senator John McCain, was on the Ed show. She is she considers herself a Republican, although she's pro-choice. She's very pro-woman. She came out and said, listen, this is an issue, because I still believe this is censorship. What they did to Barb Byram and Lisa Brown is censorship, in my opinion, Susan.
Mm-hmm.
But that there is some, you know, some of this partisan divide has been quite interesting because there are Republicans that are saying, no, 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 they shouldn't have done this. And there are Democrats that are saying, no, 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 they should have done this. So it's been kind of interesting in that regard.
Yeah. I mean, you've seen some instances where, you know, there hasn't been a partisan divide. Representative Lucia Liss, who's a Democrat, and she's anti-abortion. She's been extremely critical of her fellow Democrats on this. But you've seen some Republicans who, you know, like Meghan McCain, who have spoken out and said, hey, I might be pro-life, but I think this is really going too far here. You know, even the View on ABC took up this issue, and the Republican on the show didn't seem all that sympathetic.
And I think justifiably so. Well, we're going to continue to watch this, of course. The timing just works out the way it does. But they're on break now. Now, we've got a couple minutes before break. We probably should talk about, because you did report on it, the performance on the Capitol steps of the Vagina Monologues. They're, by anybody's measure, a rousing success, a wonderful turnout, great support for that side of the cause, and, you know, something to feel good about. When I woke up the next morning, as you know, I get up awfully early, Susan, so I wasn't able to go to the Capitol. When I woke up the next morning, I felt pretty good about what happened that night.
It was a really good turnout, especially for putting together something in 72 hours when people are on summer vacation. You know, I think it made a statement and certainly got a lot of national coverage.
Yeah, so were you there that night, by the way?
Yes, I was covering it.
I did not know this until I read your piece. I did not know Eve Ensler, for those that don't know, the Tony Award-winning writer of the Vagina Monologues, almost didn't make it in time.
Yeah. Her plane from Detroit to Lansing was delayed, so she and her staff with V-Day had to go and rent a car. And so she was kind of out of breath and arrived in Senate Minority Leader Gretchen Whitmer's office 20 minutes before the show.
I can't imagine. That had to be freaking someone out. We'll never know the truth to that, and that's probably okay because it all worked out just fine. One of the things I will tell you, because I did hear from a lot of my listeners were there that night. A lot of my male listeners were there that night. One guy sent me 150 photos, literally 150 photos. I was stunned at how diverse the crowd looked. You would have thought, not that it wasn't heavily female, it was, but I was shocked at how diverse the crowd looked. What was really wonderful to see is how many children were there.
Yeah, a lot of people brought their families. There were seniors there. It was a very interesting turnout, and, you know, I would imagine people, you know, came from well beyond Lansing.
Oh, yes. I had email from people that came from Cleveland. Somebody came from Buffalo, New York. I heard from a lot of people that came from all over. And was just thrilled to see that. Let's take a quick break. We will come right back with Susan Demas. She, of course, with Mirrors and MLive.com. When we come back, Mitt Romney, as you know, was in Michigan. I was going to say Detroit. Well, he was in Detroit, but that wasn't part of his quote-unquote public schedule. He was in Michigan, and there were protesters, and he was, I don't want to say heckled, but how about cajoled? We'll say cajoled. That's a good word. We'll talk about it more on the other side. Let's take a quick break. I am Tony Truppiano. This is First Shift. We'll be back right after we do this.
First Shift with Tony Truppiano.
You're calling Mitt Romney a liar.
Well, you seem shocked by it. Yes. This is a man whose staff created the PAC. His millionaire friends fund the PAC. He pretends he has nothing to do with the PAC. It's baloney. He's not telling the American people the truth.
On 1310 WDTW.
Do you have some previous experience in the restaurant industry but want additional opportunities to enhance your skills?
The Restaurant Opportunity Center of Michigan, Rock, Michigan, is offering free classes in fine dining, serving, and bartending.
You'll learn the order of service every server should know,
speed pouring,
drink recipes,
customer service skills the industry is looking for,
and much more.
All classes will take place at our restaurant and training center, Colors Detroit, at 311 East Grand River in Detroit, Michigan.
Please call 313-962-5022.
720, Monday through Friday from 9:30 a.m. until 6 p.m. to set up your orientation date and learn more about the nation's largest nonprofit restaurant worker organization. We want to help you elevate your skill set and passion for the food service industry and give you every opportunity to achieve everything this industry has for you. Again, call 313-962-5020 and set up your appointment for your orientation date. Rock, Michigan. Your future is waiting for you now.
Over 140 Rite Aid stores are unionized with over 1,500 United Food and Commercial Workers members working with a union contract in stores all across Michigan. Because they are union members, they have access to higher wages, a company pension, a health care plan for themselves and their family, and UFCW Rite Aid workers proudly serve their communities and at the same time enjoy a living wage and benefit package. Please support our union Rite Aid workers and make sure they know how much we appreciate the work they are doing. To join the UFCW family of drugstores, visit UFCW.org or call 248-585-9671.
Recently on First Shift.
Let's welcome Will in Milford.
I think this is a perfect example of what politics have put us in this country. Here we are, citizens, working every day, and it's these splinter issues that get us to arguing amongst each other when those above us who don't feel our pain are more or less in control of all the switches. Because we see teachers and they're in our community, and it's easy for us to make these opinions. While these other individuals, the rich, have already succeeded from the nation, they live in gated communities, they go to private schools. They've already moved away from us.
First Shift with Tony Trippiano on 1310 WDTW.
First Shift is more than a radio show.
It's a movement.
And it's Facebook fun as well.
Very impressive.
Add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trippiano page today and tell a friend.
I'm friends with Marilyn Olson, too. He comes over.
Interact with other listeners.
Yo, what's up, diggity dog?
Listen to the song of the day.
Great googly moogly.
Vote in the daily poll.
That's how I roll.
And even win prizes by participating in the contest.
You ever have that feeling you were just born for greatness?
First Shift with Tony Trippiano on Facebook and also follow us
at Tony Trippiano on Twitter.
We want to hear from you.
Interact with First Shift.
Find our First Shift with Tony Trippiano Facebook page.
Tweet us at Tony Trupiano. Or call us now. 1-888-552-3595.
Now, back to the show and Tony.
Welcome back. 10 minutes before the top of the hour. Susan Demas, my guest. She's a journalist, one of those rare breed journalists with MLive and MERS. MERS is a statewide news service. Now we're going to talk about Mitt Romney's trip to Michigan. Although he was in the Detroit area yesterday, Susan, it was for a fundraiser. He was met by about 600 protesters in Troy, but that's really not what I want to talk about. I want to talk about his outstate appearances and the protesters that were successfully following him.
Yeah, you know, he did several events on Tuesday in Frankenmuth, DeWitt, and Holland. And, you know, there were a crowd of pro-Obama supporters that, you know, showed up to each event. And in DeWitt, actually, the event that I was covering, Mitt Romney seemed kind of annoyed by the folks and, you know, acknowledged them during a speech, which, you know, frankly, I thought was interesting. I've covered a lot of these things, and usually, you know, you kind of ignore the people who are against you. Especially, you know, it wasn't a huge crowd. They weren't disrupting the speech. They were way across the street. So, you know, I was kind of curious why he decided to go there.
Well, I am too, because he actually then gives them energy and power and maybe a little more control than just ignoring them what it gave him. And I didn't realize that they were physically separated that far. So, yeah, that's that may be beyond odd.
Yeah. I mean, you know, if they were being disrespectful, if they were, you know, saying things that were offensive, you know, I would understand a little more. I would, you know, understand, you know, that perhaps his folks would try and, you know, do some sort of crowd control. I get that. You know, I'm definitely not in favor of heckling, like what happened with the president when he was giving a speech last week. But, you know, I mean, protest is part of American democracy, and as long as you're, you know, respectful, and certainly when you're not, you know, anywhere near the candidate, you know, I would just think that he would have just gone about his business, talked with the people who came out for him, and go bake a pie.
Well, and I said this earlier on. I don't expect Mitt Romney to be the order that Barack Obama is, and I don't expect that, Susan. I truly don't, and I think most people don't either. And I don't criticize him for, you know, not having that charismatic way of doing things. We also know that Mitt Romney isn't really good about, you know, talking off the cuff and being, you know, just being able to kind of roll with the punches. And for him to then engage the protesters that way, I mean, he turned it into a, you want four more years of this? And everybody would go, no. All right, well, that's great. But it, like so many of the things he does that's off script, it looks forced on him for some reason. And I always, actually, as somebody that communicates for a living, I feel uncomfortable when I watch Mitt Romney speak so often.
Yeah, you know, I have to say, when you're there in person, he doesn't come off as awkward. And I watch, and I covered him back in 08, and he has come a long way. But, you know, I think he is the kind of person who does get rattled, you know, when there are folks there who don't agree with him. And that's what came out when he felt the need to engage the protesters. Whereas, you know, a candidate like Obama, you know, putting aside, you know, his comfortability speaking, you know, he's pretty cool under pressure, and he's used to getting a lot of blowback. Even when he speaks at his State of the Union, you know, people come up and heckle him, you know, members of Congress. So, you know, he just seems to be able to roll with that sort of, you know, dissent a little bit more.
No, but I found it so interesting. I had a chance to see Mark Brewer yesterday, chairman of the Michigan Democratic Party, and he was, of course, following the Romney campaign for and different reasons than you would be. You were there as a journalist. He was there as a partisan. But he told me that, you know, and he was the first to say that Mitt did have nice-sized crowds where he was, wherever he showed up, that he had some nice-sized crowds, which doesn't surprise me, especially outstate a little bit. That doesn't surprise me at all. Once we get outside of southeast Michigan, the state does get tend to be a little more conservative, so I can see where those would be friendly environments for the Romneys to visit. I'm still curious, and you're certainly no novice to political and presidential campaigns. I'm still curious when we really start turning up the heat on this thing, and we really are seeing the stark contrast between the two. If the Romneys are really going to be able to relate to the everyday person, and I'm still not convinced, Susan Demas, that's going to happen.
You know, I don't know. I certainly think that his personal wealth and his Bain record will be issues during the campaign. You know, we tend to have very wealthy people who run for office now. So to some degree, I think people are used to it. But, you know, the fact that there are certainly details to pick out, like the car elevator and the fact that Ann Romney's horse gets a bigger tax break than most of us get for our kids, you know, those are all issues I think we will hear about, and we'll see if they resonate.
Well, somebody had sent me an email yesterday, and I apologize for not remembering the name of the horses that they have that are going to be in the Olympics. I just forget the name of the breed. And it's some kind of weird event in the Olympics. I don't claim to understand the Summer Olympics, Susan. I'll just be honest with you. There's some really interesting stuff that goes on there. But, you know, right away people want to criticize that, you know, the Romneys have these expensive horses. They have to be flown in from Europe, blah, 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 blah. You know, the average person wouldn't be able. Well, you know what? You're right. The average person wouldn't be able to do that. But I'm not going to criticize the Romneys for having that hobby. They can afford it. I've said this before. I will never begrudge that man. And you know that I am a liberal Democrat, Susan. I will never begrudge that man $1 that he earned because he earned it.
Right. I mean, you know, that seems to be a persistent criticism of people who are not with the Republican Party, that there's a lot of class envy going on and class warfare. You know, I don't think that anybody really begrudges people for earning an honest living and earning a very good living. You know, I think the argument is just that they want everybody to have an opportunity, and that's getting harder and harder for a lot of people in this country.
And that is a real. I mean, we have facts that back that up. So that I understand. I really do try to put the focus back where it belongs. Now, we can have a very different conversation about did he, you know, all the money he made on the up and up. Well, I don't know that that's true. Did he take advantage of certain loopholes? He absolutely did. Is he being as forthcoming with his finances as he promised he would be? Absolutely not. We can have those discussions. That's a very different discussion. But I will never begrudge any successful person their success. I know how hard it is to get there. And he didn't do it just by sitting back and smoking cigars and having other people do the work for him. It just didn't happen that way, folks. So you need to get over it.
Yeah, I agree. One thing is that I think, you know, I feel very lucky in the success I've had in my career, and I certainly am not doing as well as Mitt Romney because I chose to be a journalist and you don't make that kind of money.
No,
don't. But I'm happy doing it. But there's a lot of luck involved, you know. There are a lot of breaks we all get, and, you know, that's in addition to talent that people have. And, you know, sometimes people don't get breaks. Sometimes people work for the auto companies, and they almost go bankrupt.
Yeah,
so
no
there's
question.
A lot of that, too. And you know, it'd be nice for Romney to acknowledge that.
Yep. We're out of time for today. I'm going to look forward to having you on a weekly basis. I know you and Jeff will get that worked out. Susan, thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you.
Susan Demas with MLive and Mirrors. We'll take the break. Kevin Moore on the other side, my union president from Teamsters Local 299. Stay with us.
WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Hey, we watch some slow traffic over on 75 southbound between 14 Mile and 11 Mile. Also, it's a slow go on 94 eastbound between 96 and Linwood. And the Ambassador Bridge southbound between the U.S. and Canada. Expect delays up to 2 hours. That's your total traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
1310 WDTW Motor City Weather.
Today's going to be 90 degrees with thunderstorms starting in the afternoon. Tonight, 63. Tomorrow, 84, mostly sunny, and it's currently 75 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your First Shift weather.
Next time you need to stop for groceries, the 42,000 members of the United Food and Commercial Workers in Michigan ask you to shop at one of the stores where they work, including Kroger, Meijer, Hillers, and Hollywood Markets. Shopping at these union stores helps support good union jobs, which build healthy communities. If you already shop at these stores, our members want to thank you for your support.
Hey, it's Jeff from First Shift. You're listening to 1310 WDTW, Dearborn, Detroit, home of First Shift with Tony Truppiano. Now, NBC News with the latest.
Radio, I'm Kristen Welker at the White House. How hot is it? The Northeast in for another scorcher on the first full day of summer as temperature records fall and utilities deal with nonstop AC. NBC's Al Roker.
We're talking about upwards of 30 million people going to be affected by this heat. We are looking at record highs today with scorcher from Boston to D.C., 99 in New York.
The nation's capital expected to hit 100 degrees. Plenty of political heat in D.C. too as House Republicans threaten to hold Attorney General Eric Holder in contempt for withholding documents on the failed ATF operation known as Fast and Furious. President Obama countering by invoking executive privilege. Fed officials have extended their efforts to boost the sluggish U.S. economy, but Wall Street isn't impressed. Stock futures point to a lower open. And it's a birthday present fit for a king, a future king. Britain's Prince William inherits more than $15 million from his mother's trust as he turns 30 years old today. This is NBC News Radio. The defense has rested its case at the Jerry Sandusky trial without testimony from the former Penn State assistant coach who's charged with 51 counts of child sex abuse. NBC's Michael Isikoff.
Sources close to the case tell NBC News that prosecutors warned the defense this week that if Sandusky testified, they would call his rebuttal a surprise new witness, the defendant's adopted son, Matt.
Confidence in America's public schools has dropped to an all-time low, according to a Gallup poll that shows just 29% have a lot of confidence in the school system. Division I college football may finally have a playoff system to determine who is number one. The BCS said to favor a four-team playoff for 2014. And some people splurge on a trip to the Hawaiian Islands. Billionaire Larry Ellison is splurging by buying one. The co-founder of Oracle is buying Lanai, the sixth largest Hawaiian island just west of Maui. No price disclosed, but it's valued in the hundreds of millions. More news at MSNBC.com. I'm Kristen Welker, NBC News Radio.
Safe Light Repair, Safe Light Replace.
Ryan, technician with SafeLight Auto Glass.
So you think all auto glass companies are the same? Well, they're not. With SafeLight, you get more. Every windshield we replace is backed by a national lifetime guarantee, keeping you covered wherever you are. Plus, SafeLight has more glass in stock than anyone, so we can get to you faster.
Just tell your insurance company you want SafeLight, or call us at 1-800-800-2727, or go to safelight.com.
Now at the Home Depot's Red, White, and Blue Savings, get a GE front-load washer or electric dryer for a special buy of just $499 each. Triple-digit savings on a feature-packed appliance, so you get a lot more bang for your budget this 4th of July. All thanks to Red, White, and Blue Savings, like $499 for a GE washer or dryer. More saving, more doing. That's the power of the Home Depot. U.S. only. See store for details.
The world's biggest tobacco company is working on what it calls a lower-risk cigarette and plans to be selling it by 2017. This revelation made by the company at a conference in Switzerland, three versions of the inhaled aerosol devices made by Philip Morris with lower toxicity will be sold under existing brand names such as Marlboro. They would work by gently heating rather than burning tobacco. Reports say it was down to Bill Gates and Larry Ellison, and Ellison won. Both men, billionaires because of their software creations, were interested in buying some of the prettiest private real estate in the country when the firm Castle & Cook made known its intention to sell Lanai, the sixth biggest island of Hawaii. Oracle boss Ellison is paying $636 million to acquire 98% of Lanai, which has hotels, several pineapple farms, and more than 3,000 residents. Stock futures shaking off bad economic news from abroad, such as slowing manufacturing activity in China and Europe. S&P futures up too. I'm Andrew O'Day at MarketWatch.com.
Safe Light Repair, Safe Light Replace.
Ryan, technician with SafeLight Auto Glass.
So you think all auto glass companies are the same? Well, they're not. With SafeLight, you get more. Every windshield we replace is backed by a national lifetime guarantee, keeping you covered wherever you are. Plus, SafeLight has more glass in stock than anyone, so we can get to you faster.
Just tell your insurance company you want SafeLight, or call us at 1-800-800-2727, or go to safelight.com.
So, Dr. Morisi, as an economist, you're saying business leaders don't understand the true cost of documents?
They just don't get it. Unmanaged printers and MFPs, dysfunctional document workflow, it's profit-killing chaos.
So what's the answer?
Kyocera. With intelligent printers and MFPs, customized apps and services, Kyocera helps companies run more profitably.
Peter, Dr. Morisi. So go from chaos to Kyocera.
Hey, that's my line.
Doctor. Learn more at KyoceraDocumentSolutions.com.
Hi, Dave Lennox here. The cooling season is here, and it might be time to ask yourself, can I really get one more summer out of this old air conditioning system? But why push your luck when you can get a new high-efficiency Lennox home comfort system today? A new Lennox system will help you keep cool and might even qualify for state and local incentives in your area. Call 1-800-9-LENNOX or visit Lennox.com to find the Lennox dealer nearest you and get comfortable today.
Lennox dealers include independently owned and operated businesses.
Newman!
Yes, Mr. Fernwell?
I've got an important job for you. Bob from Account Temps is on his way.
Bob?
Make sure he has an office, a laptop, some of those little yellow sticky notes.
Bob from Account Temps?
Yes, they always have highly skilled temporaries. Why, we may hire him full-time.
Full-time?
That will free us up to go after new business, do more for our current clients.
Surf the Internet!
Pardon?
Is that out loud?
Call Account Temps for your temporary accounting and finance needs. 1-800-803-836.
The comments, ideas, and opinions expressed in the following program are those of the show participants only. Nothing stated in this program reflects the ideas, opinions, or beliefs of this radio station and or Clear Channel Radio.
As you grab your time card and get ready to punch in, and as you dedicate another day to honoring your contract and your commitment to quality,
maybe it's time to reinforce to your boss and your elected representatives that they owe you for continuing to make their lives easier.
And that it is the work that you do that rewards them for the work that they do.
That it is because of you that progress is made.
That your sacrifices and your willingness to change help them grow.
And now it's time to honor what you have done.
And what you have done cannot be ignored any longer.
You will now raise your voice.
Your voice is now. First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Welcome, everybody. 6 minutes after 8 o'clock, as we get to the last hour of this Thursday program. Happy first day of summer to all of you. Yeah, I know that this is going to sound negative, but I told you last week, now it starts getting darker earlier a minute every day. And it's just one of those realities. We kind of sneaks up on us. Anyway, happy summer to everybody. Let's enjoy it. We've got officially 90 days of summer. We're going to take advantage of every one of those days. It's going to be another hot one today, but we'll cool off a little bit on the weekend. It looks like next week in the low 70s for a few days. So we'll take what we get, as we always do. Kevin Moore is in studio. We're going to get to him in just a moment. So he is here as promised. Just let you know, if you'd like to reach out to us at any point throughout the program this hour, feel free to do that. 888-552-3595. The email address, tony@thetonyshow.org, and on Twitter, @TonyTrupiano. Let's get our intro going, and let's get this thing started.
Joining us now from Teamsters Local 299,
a labor leader who defines with his deeds leadership and bravely guides his membership with courage and strength.
Here we are today, embarking on another fight, another challenge that the state of Michigan is continuously attacking working class families, not just union families, working class families. Middle class people in Michigan are under the biggest attack of their lifetime.
The plain talking union man, Kevin Moore.
And joining us and in studio now is my good friend and brother, Kevin Moore. Pleasure to see you today.
Good morning, Tony, and 1310.
It was nothing funny about this. The last time you were supposed to be in here, you hit a pothole. It cost you a tire and a rim, and I'm sorry about that. I was up at Black Lake, as you know, yesterday, because I was talking to you on my way home. And I was talking to a guy there. He says, you know, on my way up here, I hit a pothole, and I had to stop and get a new tire and rim. I said, you know, I know somebody that can relate to that. Something about these Michigan roads. Maybe you can talk to the governor about that, Kevin.
We just need to put more people back to work.
Yeah, we do need to put more people back to work, unfortunately. And maybe we can talk about the president's job program a little bit later on in the hour. But I do want to talk about not just a program, but a project that is finally going to see, we're going to finally see something positive. And although there's still some controversy surrounding it, and I'll get to what it is in a minute, finally, some good news, and it is, of course, the new bridge. First of all, your thoughts on the governor deciding to basically flip off his own party and the legislature and say, you know what, we're just going to go ahead and do this without you.
Well, you got to give the governor his due on this one. I mean, I know where everybody's been criticizing him, but he's told the people of Michigan and his own party that he wanted a new bridge in Michigan, and they kept denying it. And he basically told his party and everybody he's going to build it. He went ahead, and he was almost like Teamster-esque the way he did it. He said, I'm going to get it done. He got in a collaboration with the Canadian government. I take my hat off to him that he said it was going to be a labor agreement with the building trades people, putting thousands of union workers to work. So, you know, he gets criticized a lot, but this one here, you got to give him a little kudos. The only thing that I would like to, and if anybody from the governor's office happens to listen to this radio show, Tony, but I'm sure they do, remember that I've had over a 50-year contract with Manny Maroon on the bridge that has quality wages, health care, and pension. So I've heard that you were going to build it, union, but after it's built, who's going to represent it for the next 100 years? So my phone is always open because I'm going to make sure that we have jobs that don't deteriorate and destroy my workers on the Ambassador Bridge.
And let's correct a misnomer. People think that once the new bridge is built, the old bridge closes, and that's not what's going
to
happen.
No, that's not true. And be honest with you, we don't need it to close.
No, we don't want it to close.
We need to get that traffic off I-75. We need to have commerce coming across the border both ways. It's a safety hazard. To be honest with you, I wouldn't mind if they built two new bridges. So let Maddie spend his money and build a bridge. He's offered out there. It's still out there, and he'll do it, a project labor agreement. Let's put 20,000 people to work.
Well, I don't quite think we're going to get two bridges built, and I'll be happy to see the one done. Now, and from a little social justice standpoint, the people in the Delray community, as you know, are a little nervous because this was not done with the legislature. One of the pieces of legislation that had been talked about, and I know you know Representative Rashida Tlaib quite well, and you have a lot of respect for her. She represents that Delray community in Southwest Detroit, and she wants to make sure that the governor protects those folks to make sure that the right thing gets done, mostly in a safety way. of course, the governor does not have an obligation to do that because he has gone around the legislature. How important is it from a, you know, because I know that all issues social matter to you. How important is it that we take care of the people of that community, Kevin?
Well, it's very important. I mean, they've spent their whole lives in that community. We're going to uproot a lot of people in that community as long as they're treated fairly where they can, you know, the housing market is pretty open these days. As long as they're giving them a fair shake to transition their life to a different part of our community and be taken care of. And I'm not going to bash the governor over that. I think he's a passionate man who cares about people. I mean, let's not.
Yeah, I wouldn't say that he doesn't care about people.
I just think he's got a lot of work ahead of him. But take my hat off to him. He said, I'm coming and here it comes. Let's put the shovels in the ground.
Well, I was, of course, very pleased last Friday. We actually found out on Wednesday that the announcement was going to come Friday. And it's pretty foolproof. And what I mean by that, I said when I was introducing the topic, there's still some controversy. According to the major article I read, this is what I'll call Matty Maroon proof. As many people know, he has funding an initiative to get on the ballot this fall, a constitutional amendment that says that the bridge cannot be built the way the governor is now proposing it. The way they put together this agreement with the Canadian government and the federal government in this country basically says doesn't really matter what you do. From a voter perspective, this is a rock-solid agreement, and we're moving forward. The controversy is there's still a lawyer or two that's saying, no, if they get the signatures and it gets on the ballot and it gets voted the right way, they can't build this bridge. So I don't think this is quite done yet, Kevin, and I don't want this delayed any longer. That's really where I'm conflicted. As much as I love democracy, we need these jobs. We need to take care of these people. We need to start doing this.
Well, that's America. You know, I don't think the Maroon family's going to take this laying down.
I know they're not going to take this laying down.
And they have a right as entrepreneurs in this state to stand up for what they believe in. They're going to spend their money the way they want to. But at the end of the day, I think this is going to be done. And I just want to make sure that the workers who are doing it are being paid fairly, and who's ever representing it after it's done doesn't destroy the fiber of the Ambassador Bridge that has been employing people for over 50 years in this town.
Let's start the conversation this side of the break, and we'll continue it on the other side because we're a couple minutes away, but we're not going to get this conversation in 2 minutes. You've talked before about Matty Maroon and how gracious he has been as to somebody to deal with your bridge workers. You just said you've been representing them, the Teamsters, for 50 years. You've got a great agreement with Matty's company.
Oh, they have phenomenal health care. They have retirement. They have wages where they can raise a family. There's many people on that bridge that have raised their family, put them to schools in this community, sent them to college. So, yeah, but let me back up just a little bit, Tony. Matty Maroon is a consummate businessman. Nobody said it's ever easy to negotiate. He is a tough negotiator. But if you do it with respect and dignity back and forth, the Teamsters have a long relationship with his family going back to his father with James R. Hoffa, negotiated contracts back when my grandfather was alive. They used to write contracts on a napkin, shake each other's hands, and walk out the door. So don't get me wrong. He's a shrewd, smart businessman. He's tough, but he's fair.
All right. And so what you're saying, and we want to make sure this audience hears it, especially the Teamsters Local 299 members, that this governor needs to understand that you're not going to allow him to do an agreement on the new bridge that disrespects the agreement that you have with the Maroon family.
Well, I have an obligation to the members of Local 299. I mean, and it's not to allow him. I'm just hoping that somebody on this other end of this radio show today can go back and talk to the governor that we should have a phone call ahead of time so we can avoid arguments or disagreements. We can sit down and do something collectively that will protect workers and actually make him look better that he is putting quality jobs in Michigan. So my phone is waiting. I'm there. But let me rest assured this. It's going to take 2 years to build and 100 years to represent. So my issue is important is building it, because after it's done, who's going to be on that platform doing that work?
It's never too early to have that conversation, I would think. What I'm saying is, if the governor were to call you today, you can start negotiating those contracts right now, can you not?
we can start having some open dialogue to discuss the future after it's open and ready for business. Absolutely.
Are you a politician on me all of a sudden?
No. I'm just...
You're the straight-talking union man. What's going on here?
Well, I really can't negotiate a contract until I have members.
Gotcha.
That would be illegal.
Gotcha.
What I can have is formal conversation talking about the future employees on the platform of that bridge.
I like that. I like that. All right. That makes sense. That does. That makes a lot of sense. 888-552-3595. Tony at thetonyshow.org. And on Twitter at Tony Truppiano. We're going to take a break. Kevin Moore is my guest. He is the president of Teamsters Local 299. Kevin also has some distinction with the international. We've not talked about that, so we should do that today because he does have a role with the international union as well. We're going to take a break here. We've got a call coming in. I would imagine we'll get to that. Stay with us. I'm Tony Truppiano. We'll be right back.
First chip with Tony
Triano. Hot dog. Yep, that's me.
Yeah, no shame in my game. You can almost get that here and now.
On 1310 WDTW.
1310 WDTW. Continuous traffic watch.
We're watching two accidents right now. First one's over on 94 westbound at Maross that has your right lane blocked. And on 94 westbound at Huron Street that has traffic backed up from McCartney Avenue. And the Ambassador Bridge southbound heading over to Canada, you can expect up to 2 hour delays for both cars and trucks. That's your total traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
1310 WDTW Motor City Weather.
Today's going to be 90 degrees with thunderstorms starting in the afternoon. Tonight, 63. Tomorrow, 84, mostly sunny, and it's currently 75 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your first shift weather.
Do you have some previous experience in the restaurant industry but want additional opportunities to enhance your skills? The Restaurant Opportunity Center of Michigan, Rock, Michigan, is offering free classes in fine dining, serving, and bartending. You'll learn the order of service every server should know, speed pouring, drink recipes, customer service skills the industry is looking for, and much more. All classes will take place at our restaurant and training center, Colors Detroit, at 311 East Grand River in Detroit, Michigan. Please call 313-962-5020. Monday through Friday from 9:30 a.m. until 6 p.m. to set up your orientation date and learn more about the nation's largest nonprofit restaurant worker organization. We want to help you elevate your skill set and passion for the food service industry and give you every opportunity to achieve everything this industry has for you. Again, call 313-962-5020 and set up your appointment for your orientation date. Rock, Michigan. Your future is waiting for you now.
If you missed today's first shift with Tony Truppiano, or you want to listen to a segment again, visit our podcast page on 1310WDTW.com today.
Unions work. One of the many advantages of being a worker covered by a union contract is the increased likelihood that you will have guaranteed benefits, including scheduled wage increases, affordable health insurance, a secure pension, and paid time off than non-union workers. Wouldn't it be nice to have the peace of mind and economic security that comes with a union contract? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
First chip with Tony Truppiano.
Phil Foster joins me from Dearborn this morning to talk about Teabag.
Basically, when the Tea Party, taxed enough already, first came to the forefront, the first thing I thought of was Alice in Wonderland and the Mad Hatter's Tea Party. And in following and listening to the conservative movement in this country, I just found more and more similarities in their rhetoric to everything that was expressed by Lewis Carroll. And I started thinking about matching up the different pundits and politicos with the various characters from Carroll's book. And the more I thought about it, the similarities just were so striking, I just felt compelled I had to do it.
On 1310 WDTW.
First Shift is more than a radio show.
It's a movement.
And it's Facebook fun as well.
Very impressive.
Add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today and tell a friend.
I'm friends with Merlin Olsen, too. He comes over.
Interact with other listeners.
Yo, what's up, diggity dog?
Listen to the song of the day.
Great googly moogly.
Vote in the daily poll.
That's how I roll.
And even win prizes by participating in the contest.
You ever have that feeling you were just born for greatness?
First Shift with Tony Trupiano on Facebook. And also follow us
at Tony Trupiano on Twitter.
Tony and the crew are punching back in and looking to hear from you.
1-888-552-3595.
Tell us what's on your mind. Now, here's First Shift and Tony Trupiano.
Welcome back, Tony Trupiano. Indeed, Kevin Moore, president of Teamsters Local 299. Before we get to the phones, I want to give people a number again, 888-552-3595, and we'll get to both calls in just a minute. You do some work for the international, and I don't think people understand your not only your connection but your commitment, because this isn't just about being the president of the local. You actually do some work with the international. What is it that you do?
Well, I was elected by the body nationwide for an international trustee position. There's three of us that has to be voted in nationwide by 1.4 million people. And I am very blessed and honored to know that they voted me in third highest vote count in the whole international union. So I'm very honored. I have a lot of work to do. And I have been with the Hoffa family for three generations. I've been a part of Hoffa's team since 1999, but now I'm elected by the body. So very honored.
Yeah.
And looking forward to the challenges. We have a lot to do in 2012.
And part of the reason that I wanted to share that with this audience is that you make the time, even though it's 2 hours a month, that for you that's a lot of time. I mean, your time is that precious. Let's go to the phone and welcome Joe in East Point. Joe, I want to welcome you to First Shift. You're on the air with Kevin Moore.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Just wanted to weigh in on a couple of things. You know, I haven't heard Mayor Bing say one word about the bridge yet. And I realize he is sort of fighting some other battles. But doesn't he understand that the American approach is going to be built on land owned by Detroiters? And, of course, they're going to use eminent domain to buy that land, and probably really won't have to. But if I were the mayor right now, I would be in line with the people being guaranteed 2,000 jobs, 1,000 jobs, 1,500 jobs by, you know, filled by Detroiters, by people that live in the confines of the city. And when the original bridge was built, believe it or not, and people probably won't, but it's a fact that the budgets had to be signed off on by the Detroit City Council and the City Council of Sandwich in Ontario.
Well, with all due respect, Joe, I wouldn't want the Detroit City Council signing off on this one. I just don't have a lot of love, as you know, for the Detroit City Council that's currently there. I want to thank you for the call. Kevin, I do want to. The mayor hasn't commented on the bridge, and you would think no matter how complicated his life is these days, that this would be a positive development, and then he would have made some kind of comment about this.
Yeah, but to the caller's extent, I know the people that run the Michigan Building Trades and the unions of the carpenters and the iron workers. They will make sure that there's a majority of workers that come out of the Detroit metropolitan area that will be on that bridge doing the work, and they will be union workers making quality wages and conditions. Yes, I think the mayor is missing a point here, but to the caller's point, if there's going to put 2,000 to 5,000 people to work, I don't think there's two or five thousand people of the Michigan building trades that live just in the confines of Detroit. So they will meet goals, and obviously I understand that, but it's too far out of reach to think that all the jobs are going to come from Detroit.
Yeah, well, at this point, I know that they didn't negotiate quotas in that regard, and you're right, I don't know that there are 2,000 to 5,000 union members living within the city limits that would be
the
qualified.
Construction trades,
right.
I would say not.
All right, let's go to the phone and welcome Jerome to the show. Jerome, I want to welcome you to First Shift. You're on the air with Kevin Moore.
Hello, Kevin Moore. Tony, glad to be on. I just want to tell you, you got a guy sitting there, Kevin Moore, true champion for our union. I mean, 15 years ago, I came to USF Holland and met a guy named Harry Michelone. He told me, you got to see this guy. I was a union guy. I went to see him. I've been on board ever since. We got a good guy running our show. And I just wanted to say that. And as far as the Del Rey thing goes, I believe everybody in Del Rey, well, not everybody, of course. I'm not saying nothing against people who wouldn't qualify, but I would hope they would be on board with this project just for the sake that it would make that neighborhood there when you come into Detroit a lot better.
We'll speak to Jerome. We'll speak to that in a minute. And thanks for the call. I'll let you comment on. First of all, you're sending me a little love.
I appreciate that. Jerry is a true teamster. I gotta give him some love back because everything I ask him to do, whether it's the POJ or coming to union meetings or coming to strike lines, you could look and Jerome Wilson's the first guy you see in a line. So, you know, the love goes back and forth. Without men and women like him, I'm just one guy sitting in a chair. So without these people, that I am blessed to have some great members in the Teamsters Union. And thank you for the call. And, Jerome, if you're still listening to this show every day from 6 to 9, and make sure you pass it on to our coworkers.
I appreciate that. Let's address the second part of that. I do believe that the residents of Del Rey are in favor of the bridge project. That's not the issue. It's they want to make sure. They've been made a lot of promises that have been broken over the years. This quote-unquote bridge project has been talked about a very long time, and there are people that were holding on or trying to hold on, thinking that they might get a little something for their house, that there might be a little something good that comes out of this. So I understand where their reticence is, Kevin. I completely get it. I do.
Well, they should be aware. They're listening to politicians. Look at the movement across this country. They tell you what you want to hear and do 10% of what they say. So the citizens of Del Rey should stay on point. They should make sure they get treated fairly and that it helps bring the community back. And those who have to relocate, do it with dignity and get housing for themselves and their children, that they can move forward as middle-class people in this state.
Well,
and they should be aware.
And I feel as long as somebody like Rashida Tlaib is there, and she's up for re-election this year, so we have to make sure that she's re-elected, in my opinion, that, you know, she's going to protect that community as she has many, many times. And they all know that. She actually just did a sit-down strike in that community. So this is not somebody that's going to ignore the needs of those folks. No question that's true. I'm one of those people that wants dates now. I know I'm not going to get them next week, but I want dates. I want to know when are you going to start. This is really, at this point, it's turnkey, but that doesn't make it simple. But it does. I mean, we are going to see something, and people need to understand. On the Canadian side of this, they're already building this thing. The infrastructure's being built. They're extending the 401. There's some real dynamic stuff already going on the Canadian side of this project.
Oh, they're front loading all the money on it.
And that, yeah.
That's another little point for discussion that makes the hair on my neck stand up a little bit. They're fronting all the money for this thing. So what are we giving up for it? I know we're going to have the jobs to build it. I'm good with that. But are we getting revenue after it's done, or is all the revenue going to Canada? I know they say it's not our taxpayer dollars going to build it, but what kind of revenue stream are we going to have coming into this state after it's done?
These
are all the questions
we need to ask. For 40 years, we're not. Right. The way that it's worked out, the agreement, the way I understand it, is for 40 years, all of the tolls go to the Canadians. Now, how do we know how much money that is? How do they know how much money? They don't know. They really don't know. They can project, and I'm sure that they have. Somebody said that they're going to front load $500 million, $500 million, but the way this deal is written, they'll get $1.5 billion, or $1.6 billion before it's all said and done. Well, I don't know if that makes them just really good business people or makes the governor maybe look a little foolish. And at the same time, Kevin, well, it seems like the deal is done, so we'll just have to wait and see. Hold that thought. We got to take the break. All right. Kevin Moore, president of Teamsters Local 299. Feel free to call us, 888-552-3595. Much more to get to, including, we've referenced it, POJ, protecting our jobs. The signatures were gathered. There are more than enough. They will be certified. What's next? We'll be back with a lot more right after this.
WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Well, the accidents are starting to pile up. Let's head over to 94 westbound at Huron Street, where the shoulder is blocked, and you got stop-and-go traffic from Rawsonville. Also on 94 westbound at Maross, the right shoulder is blocked, and you got stop-and-go traffic from 9 Mile. heading over to 696 westbound at Cousins. Your right shoulder is blocked. You got two cars involved there. That's your total traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
1310 WDTW Motor City Weather.
Today's going to be 90 degrees with thunderstorms starting in the afternoon. Tonight, 63. Tomorrow, 84, mostly sunny, and it's currently 75 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your first shift weather.
Unions work. Did you know that workers covered by a union contract earn more money each year than non-union workers? And that a contract can put more dollars in your pocket each and every week? A union contract protects your wages, giving your family financial security. Does more money in your pocket sound good? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
First shift with Tony Trupiano.
Jim Peterson, you just retired, so why would you want to step up into this role of candidate and ultimately, of course, with the goal of being elected to the state house?
Well, Tony, after watching this train wreck of a legislature and governor stumble from one anti-union thing, anti-worker thing, anti-retiree thing to the next, I couldn't not do it.
On 1310 WDTW.
Rather than finding ways to cooperate with the natural world, America's agribusiness giants reach for the next quick fix in a futile effort to overpower nature. Their attitude is that if brute force isn't working, they're probably not using enough of it. Monsanto, for example, has banked a fortune by selling a corn seed that it genetically manipulated to produce corn plants that won't die when sprayed with a toxic weed killer called Roundup. Not coincidentally, Monsanto also happens to be the maker of Roundup, so it has profited from the seed and from the huge jump in Roundup sales that the seed generated. Slick. But Mother Nature, damn her, has rebelled. So much of Monsanto's poison was spread in the past decade that weeds naturally developed a resistance to it. As the Dow Chemical agronomist put it, the real need here is to diversify our weed management systems. Exactly right. We need non-chemical, non-GMO, sustainable systems that work with nature. But no, the Dow man didn't mean that at all. He was calling for more brute force in the form of Dow's new genetically altered corn seed that can absorb Dow's superpotent 2,4-D weed killer. Use this, he says, and nature will be defeated. Wrong. Nature doesn't quit. The weeds will keep evolving and will adapt to Dow's high-tech fix, too. By pushing the same old thing relentlessly, says an independent crop scientist, agribusiness interests ratchet up America's dependence on the use of herbicides, which is very much a treadmill. This is Jim Hightower saying, it's time to start listening to the weeds and cooperating with Mother Nature. To advance this common sense approach, a national coalition is backing a California Right to Know initiative requiring GMO-altered foods to be labeled. To help, go to organicconsumers.org. Hightower's commentary is brought to you by the Hightower Lowdown. From Wall Street to Washington, this monthly newsletter reveals who's doing what to whom and why. Check it out, hightowerlowdown.org.
Stay connected with us. First Shift is on Facebook and Twitter. Follow us, like us, love us. At Tony Trupiano on Twitter and add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today.
Tweet. Got something to tell Tony?
1-888-552-3595.
Let your voice be heard on First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Now, time to punch back in.
All right, welcome back. We're getting so wound up here. Hey, Kevin Moore, president of Teamsters Local 299, is my guest. 888-552-3595. Before we move on to protect our jobs and some of the victories, early victories there, let us go back to the phones and welcome Patty to First Shift. Patty, welcome to the show. You're on the air with Kevin Moore.
Good morning. How are you?
Good morning to you.
I wanted just to call in and if they wanted to sit down with open discussions with Kevin Moore, that would be fantastic. I think that would be a right step in the right direction. But more importantly, on the whole bridge deal, I think Kevin hit the nail on the head. Canada's given us $550 million. What do they want for it? I'm glad to hear that they're going to have Michigan jobs coming. You know, Michigan workers are going to be doing that work, which is very important for the right to work petitions, which I know you're going to be getting on next. The petitions are going around, but what's more important is the vote in November. We still have to have that vote in November, but these jobs here in Michigan, that's a lot right there. It shows that's one good step, and we need to keep the work here in Michigan and the right to work. We need to protect our jobs here in Michigan.
Yeah, no question. Patty, I want to thank you for your call. Go ahead and comment, because I want to say something about the right to work issue.
Well, I think she's 100% right, too, what she said. We're going to put quality, good workers, iron workers, people, quality jobs, putting people back to work. But the more important thing, too, what she said, too, is the POJ, Protect Our Jobs program, is out there, is something that we have to do for the middle class families of Michigan to stand up and not let the right wing completely destroy the middle class fiber. And, you know, Patty, if you're still on the radio, one thing I can say about the governor, even he's tired of listening to the far right wing of his own party. He's telling them basically that you are a bunch of whack jobs and I'm going to continue to do what I got to do. And I'm not going to let your rhetoric stand in the way, because they don't even know what they want, this far right wing of this country.
You know what? It'll really be interesting. The legislature last week before they went on break, one of the pieces of legislation they passed that the governor will either sign or veto says that they can't, no state money can be used to fund the bridge. I'm curious if the governor will sign that, because it doesn't matter if, you know, they do it, and I don't know that they have enough votes to overturn it. I just don't know. They may. But I wonder if he'll veto that, because he can basically say, listen, folks, just because you didn't like the deal I did because I went around you doesn't mean you can tell me how to do everything in my life. Or will he sign it and go, okay, well, we didn't want the money anyway.
Just remember, he was the power CEO of a corporation, so he knows how to be the boss.
He does know how to be the boss.
He does know how to be the boss, and he's telling his party, I'm the boss, and I don't care what you think.
As I've warned this audience, Kevin, many times, Governor Snyder and Mitt Romney are not stupid people.
No.
So don't think just because they don't sound like politicians that they don't think like them, and they're smart people. We're going to go back to the phones. Again, 888-552-3595. Chuck in Novi joins us now. Chuck, thanks for giving us a call on First Shift this morning. What's on your mind?
About the bridge deal. To start with, Tony, I'm a union carpenter, and we have been fighting for some time to get this bridge rolling, and it is being blocked by a Republican obstructionist in the legislature working for Matty Maroon. Now, as far as the deal, if they get a better deal than we do, well, hey, they are putting up the money, and we can just thank our Republican legislatures for costing us more than they already have. You know, they've been tying up jobs for years now. We could have had this approved under Granholm, and this bridge could be halfway built by now, if not completely built, all the jobs.
And Chuck, thank you for your call, and I appreciate you calling, brother, as I'm sure, Kevin, you do. First of all, we can't live in the past, so that it didn't pass, we can't do anything about that. So let's deal with what we can deal with. This agreement with the Canadian government, again, they are front-loading the money, Kevin, so there should be some preferential treatment, whether you like it or not, because we said here in the state of Michigan that we didn't want to put up any money. Well, you can't do that and expect to participate in the profits and act like you're a partner. You're not at this point. Now, after 40 years, and that is the number, after 40 years, then you do become a partner. That's just part of the game. It's the way it's played.
The Canadian government wants this bridge as bad as we do. They're going to put up the money. They're going to put their unionized workers on the Canadian side building a bridge. And to this carpenter brother just called, I'm sure Mike Jackson and Rich Davis of the carpenters, who I know well, will make sure their men are on that bridge doing their work and getting the proper pay and conditions and benefits. So it's going to get built. It's going to get done by union workers. And it is what it is.
All right. We're going to talk about Protect Our Jobs. And I want to go back to something that Patty said, because I want people to understand this is not Protect Our Jobs is not about right to work. And so she referenced that it was, and it's not. Here's the danger. I want to say this up front, then we can talk about some of the early success here. The danger is if we don't pass the Protect Our Jobs constitutional ballot initiative, right to work will become a reality, because the Republicans will see labor as weak. They will seize on that, and they will come after labor in a big way. So let me just warn people up front, that will happen. Protect Our Jobs. Let's talk about the good news. Over 685,000 signatures initially turned in. You just told me many more coming, which I love that big exclamation point. That's good.
Kevin, I don't think people understand the significance of what 685,000 signatures means. What it really means is that everybody, the labor, non-labor, organized labor, non-organized labor, people in Michigan get it. We need to protect our jobs.
What it truly means is people, working people of Michigan, have been woken up. The people in the far right of this government, Republicans, didn't think this we'd even have a shot to make this happen. Even up on Mackinac Island, they were not even concerned about it. Oh, they're not going to get enough petitions. Well, let me rest assured that we aren't done turning in petitions. We just got them in early to get them certified. There's many more coming. We're going to continue to educate and enlighten the workers of Michigan. And that's what makes me feel so good, because they tried to spin it to the general public that this was a union issue. This is not a union issue.
That's this a is worker a issue.
Workers' issue of Michigan. And yes, if you're not in a union, this issue will keep your standard of living moving forward, not being depleted.
Well, that's and between now and November, we're, of course, going to continue to educate people on this. In fact, you and I were talking during one of the breaks about getting Mr. Hoff on the show, because you told me that protect our jobs is very important to him.
Oh, absolutely it is. He's put his money, his effort into this state. This is where he lives. This is where his family, his generations of his family has lived. He is in the forefront of this, and believe you me, he's making sure that every union official that under the Teamster umbrella in this state is on board, and they are, with their members and their community, and this is going to be the number one thing other than getting Barack Obama elected.
No, and it's important. We can't underscore enough. One of the things, you know, what Kevin just said, this is a pro-workers initiative, not a pro-labor initiative. This is not about organized labor. I want to remind people, because we've said it a million times and we'll say it again, organized labor took the lead on this. They are the ones that basically went out and gathered signatures, but they never excluded anybody. You did have non-union folks out there with you collecting signatures, too. They were always welcome to join the effort, and they did. So it's a good thing.
We relished them to be a part of it. We wanted them. We wanted to make sure that we knocked down the stigma that it was just a union issue. And I commend the citizens of Michigan that are getting on board, and we're going to continue. Because rest assured, this is just the beginning. Because the Koch brothers, what happened in Wisconsin, they're going to start funneling the big money in here and spending enormous amount of money on TV and radio with spin doctoring and lies to fool the uneducated worker of Michigan.
Yeah, we're not going to let that happen. I need to ask if you can stay till the top there. We got a couple more calls. You're just very popular today, Kevin Moore.
I love this radio show. I'll stay all day.
All right. I'm not on all day.
Yeah, but we'll have to work on that.
All right. Well, maybe sometime. Let's go to Don in Detroit before we get to the break and welcome him to First Shift. Don, you're on the air. What's on your mind today?
Hey, good morning.
Good morning.
Hey, first I want to congratulate Kevin again on his international election. It just shows what a leader he is in our region, but the respect he has throughout the country by getting most amount of votes out there. But what I called about was the POG petitions. What I think needs to happen with this petition as a circulator. I noticed we have a lot of people out there that still is not registered, and we have a big uphill battle to get these people registered and get them to vote, and there are a lot of pro job people out there and they're still not registered, and I just want to congratulate Kevin again, and we got one of the best here in Michigan.
Yeah, absolutely. Don, thank you for your call. I've known Kevin a long time. I've known Kevin a long time, a lot longer than he's been a union officer. And I have to tell you, we are fortunate that we have literally folks. And you understand this. Kevin Moore is one of the more powerful labor leaders in the country, and he's sitting in the studio with me. I don't take that lightly. Don's right. As you know, Kevin, I run a commercial at least once an hour, every single hour of this program, about registering people to vote. It's astounding to me how many people still aren't registered. We need to get them registered. They need to understand how to vote. This is something that if you've never done it, it's a little intimidating, but it's simple. You just need to understand how to do it. That's all.
Absolutely. And to back where Don was saying, I've been out canvassing the community and my membership, and this gentleman is 100% right. I was at awe at how many people are not registered to vote in this country. And I just think it's because they're so depressed and so beat down that they feel that their vote doesn't count. And it's and I know we got to go to commercial, but we'll touch it after the break.
All right, and then Theo, we'll get to your call as well. So stay right where you're at. Kevin Moore, again, my guest. This goes by fast, folks. Let's take a quick break here. We'll wrap it up on the other side. This is First Shift, and you're listening to 1310 WDTW. First Shift continues right after this.
First Shift with Tony Triano.
This is white supremacy, and we will fight you. And before we let you take over our city, we will burn it down.
What the f*** is the matter with you?
On 1310 WDTW.
Hi, Tony Trupiano here. One of my pet projects for 2012 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. If you are connected to the internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org, that's www.thetonyshow.org, and click on the Register to Vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now, there are no excuses, and it only takes a few minutes, and it's free as well. So if you have to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says Register to Vote right here. We all care about our democracy, but if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are, without voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we have all had enough of that. Again, go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the Register to Vote button now and register.
Over 140 Rite Aid stores are unionized with over 1,500 United Food and Commercial Workers members working with a union contract in stores all across Michigan. Because they are union members, they have access to higher wages, a company pension, a health care plan for themselves and their family, and UFCW Rite Aid workers proudly serve their communities and at the same time enjoy a living wage and benefit package. Please support our union Rite Aid workers and make sure they know how much we appreciate the work they are doing. To join the UFCW family of drugstores, visit UFCW.org or call 248-585-9671.
First Shift with Tony Triano.
My guest, he is Brad Woodhouse, Communications Director of the Democratic National Committee.
He has run into Americans all across this bus tour that don't want any part of his plans for the economy, what we call Romney economics. And there's a famous incident in Pennsylvania where he was scheduled to make a stop, and he didn't even go there because he didn't want to confront Americans that, that disagree with him. And, that's not President Obama. You've seen him. He's, often been willing to talk to Americans who disagree with him. Mitt Romney doesn't want to confront the fact that his policies are wrong for middle-class Americans.
On 1310 WDTW.
First Shift is more than a radio show.
It's a movement.
And it's Facebook fun as well.
Very impressive.
Add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today and tell a friend.
I'm friends with Marilyn Olson, too. He's comes over.
Interact with other listeners.
Yo, what's up, diggity dog?
Listen to the song of the day.
Great googly moogly.
Vote in the daily poll.
That's how I roll.
And even win prizes by participating in the contests.
You ever have that feeling you were just born for greatness?
First Shift with Tony Trupiano on Facebook. And also follow us at Tony Trupiano on Twitter.
Union.
Solidarity.
Democracy.
We make a difference when you give your voice.
What's on your mind?
1-888-552-3595.
You're listening to First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Welcome back. 10 minutes before the top of the hour. We got to get ready to wrap things up here, but we've got some business to take care of. Kevin Moore, president of Teamsters Local 299, is my guest. Let's go to Theo in Detroit and welcome her to First Shift. Theo, as always, a pleasure to talk to you. What's on your mind today?
Well, thank you, Tony. Happy Thursday to both of you.
You know, before you go on, I got to tell you, I really enjoyed our talk off the air last week. I just so enjoyed talking to you.
Oh, thank you. I wanted to ask Kevin to emphasize what I've been hearing, and of course many others have as well, and that is that when union leaders negotiate a contract for the union members, following that, is it not true that non-union members benefit as well? Therefore, they should be very supportive of unions?
Well, yeah, I won't. I'll let Kevin answer that. But Theo, thank you for the call. Okay. Of course, every time union members do well, there are some carryover effects.
Yes, very much so, Theo. Thank you. What it does is it sets a bar, a parameter, and I'll just use transportation as an issue. If you have a unionized company that you negotiate health care and pension and wages, and I'm just going to use hypotheticals here to throw it out to you. The driver makes $20 an hour. He has a 90-10% health care with a pension plan for retirement that gives him a defined benefit at the end of the retirement. The non-union truck driver, the employer, has to come close to that scale, maybe $17 an hour, a health care, but remember the health care that employee is co-paying probably 30-40 out of his pocket percent a week. And no pension, maybe a self-contributed 401k plan. But they got to bring the bar up close to unions, otherwise the people would be flooding our gates.
You know, I think this audience understands it better than most would. I would suggest that that's pretty accurate. But certainly, and historically we know this to be true, that it's unions that raise the quality of life for everybody and continue to raise the quality of life for everybody. You know, I was up at with the UAW up at Black Lake yesterday, and I had a lot of union just rank and file union guys on. We should do that at the temple sometime.
I would love that.
You know, we should do that at the temple sometime. By the way, for those that have never been out to your hall, you have really an amazingly functional hall. It's beautiful. It's well cared for. I love the offices because there's so much history over there. Even walking in there, man, there's so much history. Anyway, I'm getting off track. The point I'm trying to make here is that I've never met a union brother or sister, Kevin, that doesn't want everybody to do well. I've met non-union brothers and sisters that could care less how you do, but I've never met a union brother or sister that feels that same way. Isn't that interesting?
Well, the non-union mentality thinks that they get the attaboy for being the good son, and that they're going to do better than the other workers. Where the union mentality is, we're all in this together, we're all in for equality and fairness and fairness in the workplace. But back up to what you said about the unions, you just remember, the unions brought you the 40-hour work week. The unions brought you time and a half after eight. The unions got you the weekends off. The unions got you vacation, holiday pay. So the unions set the bar of the standard of living that otherwise we'd be working 7 days a week, 120 hours a week for corporate greedy giants that want to make billions. And if they could ship your job overseas, they'd do it anyway.
Oh, by the way, there are some people that are working in those conditions. Let's not, I don't want to make it sound like everybody's got it easy, because not everybody does.
No, they don't. I mean, the workers, not only in Michigan, in the United States, are being abused more than ever before in the history of America.
I told a story on the show yesterday. We had a young man on the show yesterday that used to work for a subsidiary that was, they were making cars at $9 an hour. They were a non-union company making cars at the plant, $9 an hour. And okay, well, they decided they wanted to organize, so they did. It took a very long time, but they finally got there. But I asked him, was it about the money? He said it wasn't about the money at all. It was about safety. It was about security. Security. Imagine that. You know, that's an interesting thing. When you negotiate a contract, one of the things that you talk to management about is, you know, you guys healthy? You going to be around a while? My guy's going to have a job 5 years from now? We can talk about the length of that contract as long as you're willing to guarantee a little something. People need to understand that that is a plank in that platform. Security matters, Kevin Moore.
Oh, absolutely. Security, respect, and dignity. I'm willing to bet you them auto workers that wanted to unionize their auto plant every day came to work and worked 10, 12 hours a day, 7 days a week, and got treated like a robot. So they had no self-dignity, self-worth. And I think that is one of the major dynamics that changes people on the workplace is they do the job every single day. And they know what they're doing. And management wants to treat them like they're just a mindless drone. And the UAW has changed that mindset with the Big Three. They have collaborations. They have cooperation to make the job better, safer, and have the worker that does it for 30 years does know a little bit about building the car.
Yeah, just a little bit. And for those of you that are out there listening to this right now that are saying, well, you know, they don't like their job, tell them to go find another one. There aren't other jobs out there. We're living in a very different economy now. We're still living in a very different economy. And the reason things aren't better is because one of the greatest presidents this country has ever known gets treated like a piece of garbage by the Republicans in Congress.
Yeah, they want to do racism. They want to act like he's not a citizen of this country. You know, let's just the far right of the House in this country hasn't tried to put one person to work, hasn't tried to work in collaboration with the president to do any job growth in this country. It's almost a shame and a mockery. As far as I'm concerned, they all need to go. We put them in there to make our lives better, to represent people of America, and they're representing their self-interests and their own political platform.
Beautifully said. How's your brother Greg Nowak doing?
Greg Nowak's doing fantastic. He is out there pushing the POJ hard. Him and Dave Robinson are the two leaders of our joint council, and they are bringing everybody together and marching in the streets. And I take my hat off to what they're doing.
You got
to
bring Greg in with you one of these
love
days.
That.
He's a great guy. I obviously have a lot of respect for him. I've known him a long time now. Helped him with a beer truck driver strike some years back, and still have fond memories of that. I do love my Teamsters, that's for sure.
He's a good labor leader.
You know, I'm actually really lucky. I live in so many different union worlds and proudly live in those worlds. But here's the greatest part about it is that, you know, by virtue of what we do here, you get to educate, I get to educate, whether it's your issues, UAW, UFCW, SEIU, MEA, AFT, and I can go on and on. The reality is we've really got an opportunity to do something important here, Kevin. Not everybody gets to do this.
Well, here's something you and I've talked about for years, and I've been talking about it since the day I took office in the Teamsters Union. We have an opportunity here to bring all unions together to work in unison for one issue and get our focus and our energy on one source moving together as a unit and as a team. It hasn't been done in Michigan. I think this is going to set the platform that unions work shoulder to shoulder together in the future and make Michigan a much better place to live in.
I'm not going to touch it. We'll end it there. Thank you, Kevin Moore. Appreciate it. That's it for us today. Anthony and Jeff, thank you for everything you do. Folks, off the air, Tony at thetonyshow.org. I'll be off to see Pam Jackson this evening. She is running for state rep, a former high school math teacher of mine. Anyway, that'll do it for me today. As always, I ask that you be well.
Team 10 WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Well, the accidents are starting to pile up. Let's head over to 94 westbound at Huron Street, where the shoulder is blocked and you got stop-and-go traffic from Rawsonville. Also on 94 westbound at Maross, the right shoulder is blocked and you got stop-and-go traffic from 9 Mile. Heading over to 696 westbound at Cousins, your right shoulder is blocked. You got two cars involved there. That's your total traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
1310 WDTW Motor City Weather.
Today's going to be 90 degrees with thunderstorms starting in the afternoon. Tonight, 63. Tomorrow, 84, mostly sunny. And it's currently 75 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your First Shift Weather.
Stay connected with us. First Shift is on Facebook and Twitter. Follow us, like us, love us. At Tony Trupiano on Twitter and add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today.
Tweet, tweet, tweet. This is Detroit's Progressive Talk, 1310 WDT.